welcome to the first episode of Friday Night Fiasco. It's Friday night, and my name is Daniel J. Collette. I am your host, and joining me today are my two friends,
Paul
and Liam.
Liam's got a bad case of the giggles, doesn't he? Alright, so this is the first episode of our show. However you found us, thank you for listening. We do appreciate it. Like I said, I'm Dan, and I'm the host of the show. These are my two friends, Paul and Liam. They are my co-hosts, sort of. They don't really...
Yeah, we are.
They can't see your hand gestures.
I know they can't see my hand gestures.
This is Paul over there.
Paul's on the other side of the room, if you look this way.
Alright, so Friday Night Fiasco, what is it? This is our podcast. It's a little different from what you might be used to if you listen to podcasts, because we're not anybody special. We're just a couple kids in high school. Couple being three. I know.
A baker's couple.
We're a baker's couple of kids in high school. And we are. We all have a common interest in pop culture. We love movies. We love music. I like video games. They don't. But we're going to be talking about them a lot anyway. That's a lot of what this show is going to be about. There's going to be other stuff going on too. It's whatever we feel like. You're just here to hang out with us and have fun. But yeah, you're going to hear a lot about movies, music, and video games, so I hope you like those three things. If not, found the wrong damn podcast.
We'll make it more exciting.
Yeah, we can talk about cars.
Yeah, Paul loves cars. Let's introduce ourselves. This first segment of today's episode, we're gonna be introducing ourselves, hoping our audience can get to know us a little bit. Let's start with Liam. Liam, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? What's your name?
My name is Liam P. Shanahan,
Patrick
Liam,
O'Malley,
Liam, Patrick O'Reilly, O'Shaughnessy,
O'Hennessy,
O'Hennessy,
Shanahan,
Shanahan.
It's,
Liam's
it's
a little
true.
Bit. Liam's Irish American,
straight out of the motherland of Worcester, Massachusetts.
Yeah, psych though. He's like Boston Irish, like Dropkick Murphy's kind of
so fake Irish.
He's fake Irish. Yeah.
Yeah, he's true. Fake Irish. His house is covered in like these like Irish quotes that like mean something in Gaelic, but he doesn't know.
Nobody knows
what they mean. But they're fucking Gaelic. I don't know.
Like Erin Go Bragh.
Yeah, right. Something like that. Liam, let's get to know you a little bit. We're talking about our three things here: music, movies, video games. Let's hear two of your favorite bands first.
Okay, favorite band. AC/DC. Second favorite band. I can't think of second favorite band.
It's the audience laughing at you. Because you can't think of anything. Oh, wait a second. What's going on? Make it stop!
It's out of control.
Either way.
It's taken
over. I
don't
like how I started. Okay. And then.
No, it actually won't stop. I can't figure it.
Shut up, you're doing this on purpose.
No, I honestly didn't know what just happened. Wow. See, alright, let's get this out of the way. This is the first podcast any of us have ever recorded. We recorded like one demo episode, but it came out like shit and didn't really last that long. But anyway, yeah, we can swear on the show.
Liam's microphone is actually my butthole.
Yeah.
No exaggeration.
When you get a rectal exam and they put like the little microphone,
probe.
They put the little probe.
Yes, they
the
shove
probe.
A microphone in your
yeah,
ass.
Shut up.
The
they
doctors.
Put the probe camera down. I don't want to talk too much about ass stuff on the show, but
yeah. Now that we're 2 minutes in, how about anal exams?
We're sufficiently warmed
this
up.
This is
to
Friday
it.
Night Fiasco. This, gentleman, is the show you came to hear.
Gentlemen?
Hey, what about the ladies? I like ladies.
Ladies?
Dan doesn't like right. ladies.
That's Paul effectively trying to cover. I'm not actually gay.
I'm not really that.
We
gay.
Just pretend.
Anyway, what I was trying to say was the camera that they used to do those exams, if that camera had a microphone, that's kind of like the same. It would have a similar quality to what we recorded Liam with the first time. So, like, a lot like recording. Liam's voice sounded like it was coming out of a butthole.
This has gotten a really specific description.
Alright, that's more than they need to hear about our trial episode. But anyway, I just fucked up with our soundboard. I think I fixed it. But that's because this is our first podcast, and we are new to this, and we are learning as we go. And I hope you take it easy on us, and I hope you give us a chance anyway, because we really appreciate it. We appreciate that you've listened this far. 5 minutes in, you're great.
Hey, thanks. We love you.
We love you. You're a great audience. Anyway, so, back to Liam. Liam, did you say your second favorite band?
No, I got distracted.
He only likes the Dropkick Murphys. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dropkick Murphys.
First thing you should know about Liam is that he has the worst taste in everything out of the three of us.
It's true, except it's the correct taste.
Yeah, the correct taste. Don't touch the mic.
Can't help it. Okay.
I like to tell this story when I introduce Liam. To get to know Liam a little better, you should know what he likes to do in his car. You know, like, a normal person in their car, like, nowadays, like, you'll plug your phone into your car stereo, right? Well, Liam thinks it's not funny, but it is. He grabs his phone, puts on Pandora Radio, and rather than just, that's fine, like, I don't like Pandora, but whatever. He goes on, instead of listening to music, he listens to stand-up comedy on Pandora Radio, which is essentially, like, listening to 2 minutes out of context.
They're like 7 minute,
like 2 minute out of context pieces from somebody's stand up, and then like maybe if you like it, you'll hear another stand up that's like it. I don't know how you identify them like that, but he actually actively listens to stand up comedy in that way. That's how he most enjoys that medium. That's how he consumes it the most.
That's true. Yep. Only if I'm alone though. I don't listen to stand up with other people in the car with me. That's weird.
It's because he just needs to hear people all the time.
I always drive with my brother, and when he's not there, I get lonely.
You feel the loneliness.
So I need someone to talk to me and tell me stories.
That was weird.
Oh, look, I fixed the soundboard.
That was uncomfortable.
Yeah, Wario thinks you suck. All right, so that's good. That's your shitty taste. How about movies?
What do you like to do? Tell me about what you do.
Sure. Tell us about your favorite hobby. Another thing I should get out of the way is that the three of us are completely different. We have like almost nothing in common.
Yeah, it's kind
of
weird that we're friends.
It's really weird that we're friends, but I guess opposite attracts. Because it's a big deal. Like when we find something that the three of us all actively enjoy together.
It's like, well, I can't even name one thing.
I can't.
Masturbating.
Yes.
Yes, got yes. It.
Boom.
Hold on, wait. Oh, I wasn't ready. Hold on.
Stop.
The one thing tying us together.
Oh, come
we
on.
All
oh,
love
I missed it. It's
universal.
Too late. It's too late.
Choke the chicken.
What happened? I'm missing some of my sound effects.
Polish the candlestick.
All right, well, there's no sound effect on that one. I missed it. All right, it's fine.
Opportunity gone.
Opportunity's gone. So anyway, we are all three very different people, and since I am the host of the show, I will be directing what we talk about, because...
So he thinks.
So I think.
But
I know.
Not really.
So we're going to be talking about great stuff like movies, music, video games, trifecta of goodness.
Woo!
Woo!
So anyway,
let's talk about what Liam's interested in. Liam, what do you do for fun?
I like to ski. I ski a lot.
Oh, there it is. That's the thing we have in common. The three of us all ski.
We ski.
But we're
We've
from
never once skied together.
We're from Massachusetts, Central Mass. Like, everybody skis around here. Like, it's not a big deal. But the three of us ski together. You really don't even ski together that much.
We don't.
I've maybe skied. I don't think I've ever skied with both of you.
Yeah.
Liam and
like
Dan are on ski team. I've skied with Dan before. I've skied with Liam before, but
never through this year.
I think maybe once this year it happened.
Not this year. Most definitely not this year.
Oh right, because we called you. We called you, and you're coming back from New Hampshire, which you went to without us, and then you didn't.
I had a race. Good lord.
Okay, that was the sound of our audience being really interested in the story.
Yeah.
Anyway, a couple more things. What else do you like to do?
I'm on the spot.
Sailing.
I love sailing. I'm actually a card-carrying member of the U.S. Sailing Association. I get 50% off Sperry's. And I hate you.
Oh, there's too much power in my hands.
It's true. I like doing that. And windsurfing. And... the great outdoors and longboarding.
Stop.
The two of them hate longboarding.
Longboarding
so much.
Is stupid.
It's dumb.
If you longboard, don't listen to our podcast. I'm kidding. Everyone should listen. All right. So that's good. Liam has shit taste in everything and loves the outdoors. We'll move on to Paul. Paul, tell us a little bit about yourself. What's your name? What's your game?
I'm Paul. Paul Friedman.
Paul Elijah Friedman.
You should know about me. I'm not Jewish. I should be Jewish, but I'm just not.
Little known fact.
It is nothing to do
just
with...
recently Dan and I have discovered that there are way too many diseases
oh, yeah,
geared
holy shit.
Specifically toward the Hebrew
family. I don't want to go off on the biggest tangent ever, but
he's gonna get playfully anti-Semitic, so please.
We're not please racist. Get on board. We're not actually racist, God. I promise you.
Okay. But anyway, this in a totally not racist or prejudiced way at all. There are like there are certain diseases that are exclusive or almost exclusive to only Jewish people. Jewish of heritage, not of faith, obviously.
Yeah.
But one of them
convert to Judaism. Oh no!
Oh no, I caught this disease. One of them in particular is called maple syrup urine disease.
It's true.
And holy shit, MSUD. It does exactly. Guess what it does? Exactly what it sounds like it does. It makes your urine smell like maple syrup.
Which sounds like. Which sounds all like fun
totally
and games.
Sick and fun. But the fun stops really fast when you find out that you can get like migraines, you can faint, you can have seizures, you can die from maple syrup urine disease.
But isn't it your girlfriend's favorite golden shower? Weird? Yeah.
And that's the sound of Paul bombing a joke.
That was like 30%.
Anyway, like Paul said, he has the most Jewish last name and has a little Jewfro, but he isn't actually
Jewish. I'm not Jewish. Other than that, I ski. That's like what we all have in common. I guess I like the nature and I like sailing. I have that in common with Liam.
But not with me.
Not with Dan, because Dan loves sitting under an umbrella
in
the sun.
Living in a cave, specifically.
Yes.
You know what Dan does in his free time? He has
I can tell them when I
one hand on an Xbox controller.
The other hand
on
his junk.
The other one on his dong. And watches, or plays, like, freaking Nintendo. And all those video games.
I play Nintendo with my Xbox controller.
Not normal video games. Like, it's not like he plays, like, Call of Duty or,
we don't
like,
talk. We're not going to talk
Halo.
About Call of Duty in this show.
It's exactly,
yeah,
exactly.
I'm not.
He's all about that, Sonic.
Like I said,
Sonic would be the most normal game that he's into.
Like I said, Liam has the worst
the
taste in everything.
The most mainstream game that he's into.
Yeah, so he'll
would
true.
Be Sonic.
What else do
would
I love?
30-year-old Sonic.
Wait, shut up. I'm introducing myself here. Still. Okay, I love cars. Cars are my favorite.
Paul got a car and now he's all
we're probably never going to talk about them, but I'm really into them. I really
maybe
like,
I'll give you a car so
I was in the cars in fourth grade.
I really like the show Top Gear.
You just said you were in a car.
Yo, you guys.
One time in fourth grade.
Alright, let Paul talk.
Yo, just let me introduce myself. I'm really into Top Gear. No one else likes it except me and a couple people. It's
wait,
British
the
and
show?
Yeah, the show. It's they made an American remake, but it's not good. I watched the British one and I like it and cars. Sorry, I'm interesting, I know. That's kinda me.
I
don't
cars.
Know.
I'm gonna shut up in a
minute. That's from our old Mormon. I didn't talk about that.
True.
Alright, so is that, what's your two favorite bands?
Two favorite bands? I don't know. I really like Green Day. Dan will make fun of me. I like it.
No, it's fine.
He can shut up.
I mean, as long as you stopped listening like a little while ago, it's fine.
And probably the Foo Fighters. I don't know.
Yeah, that's
I
great.
Really like them.
That's great. I like both those bands. No, I'm not gonna make fun of you. The only person I ever make fun of for their taste is Liam because it was so bad.
True.
Yeah, it's subjective. Anyway, my name is Daniel J. Collette. I am the host of the show. I hang out with them because I feel bad.
Psych. Shut up, dick. Because he has no other
you
friends.
Wish?
Yeah, it's sort of the other way around.
What are
I am the complete opposite of them. I hate the outdoors. I think it's shit. There's nothing fun that you can
this
do outside. There's nothing fun that you can do outside
something
that you can't
fun.
Do inside.
You
it's
go
true.
Skydiving in skydiving inside?
I'm sure there's a place
actually,
in the world where
yeah,
you can do that. Yeah, you can.
Actually, you can.
Yep.
Yes. You absolutely right. can.
Eat shit.
Okay,
that's,
you can simulate
that's one for
the
Daniel
outdoors,
J.
Indoors,
where is my ding bell? There we go. One for Daniel J. Found the ding bell. Hold on, I'm going to mark that.
I
really
want
quick. Anyway, so I love podcasts. I listen to them all the time, and I've always wanted to start one myself, so I decided that even though we have nothing in common, we are going to come together and create the greatest podcast of all time.
Woo.
It is not your average everyday podcast.
Teen
I mean,
podcast.
Yeah. We're not the normal age group that usually enjoys podcasts, but I think with our great attitudes and
it's kind of stereotypical to say.
We'll charm you into it.
You didn't know what a podcast was
it.
When I was like,
so,
hey dude, wanna start
podcast
a podcast? You're like,
just
what?
Never listened to one.
Oh boy, can't wait till I tell that Gatsby story in the second segment. Anyway, so yeah, I wanted to start this podcast and change things up a bit and reinvent the wheel. So that's what we're gonna do, and
yeah.
I hope you like it. and I'm glad you're here. All right, so anyway, now I can introduce myself. My name's Dan. I guess you can get by now that I'm huge into music, I'm huge into movies, and I'm huge into video games. Those are my three things.
And band t-shirts.
That's all that matters.
He owns one pair of shorts.
That's not true. I own, like, two.
You own one pair.
Yeah. Anyway, so all I do with my life is those three things.
That's a pretty blanket statement.
But so true.
It is. Yeah, it's true. I'll go quick. My two favorite bands are All Time Low and the Wonder Years. I like to think I have a pretty wide taste in music, but anyone who says that's kind of a douche. Like,
he doesn't. He's pretty provincial.
That's not true at
Punk
all.
Punk rock for life, yo.
I enjoy anything.
He can appreciate classic rock.
You've seen my record collection.
Yeah. Oh, tell about your turntable. Yeah, tell about that one. That was an interesting...
Last week I finally got around to buying a turntable. I've been collecting vinyl. I don't know if this is interesting at all. I don't know if we're going to bore people by telling them this story.
I'm more interested in the fact that his room was so dirty, you could not step on the floor because it was covered in clothes. You had to walk across clothes and dirt to get to one side of his room.
There was clothes, though. That was a lot of cleaning.
That was a lot. So I said, he got this turntable and these old speakers from his neighbors. They're really nice speakers, yeah. And I wasn't gonna let him put both of them on a table in one corner of his room. Like, he probably would've. So I spent 5 hours with him cleaning his room out.
It was actually five. He's not
we found some stuff that you just would not want to find.
Yeah.
It was, I don't know, it was like war. It was like Nom.
Can't hear those.
Yes, you can. They keep complaining that their headphones are too quiet, but I don't think that's a problem.
Mean our community headphone? Because somebody forgot the splitter jack? All right,
stop. We'll be cool.
Man,
be cool.
But anyways, now they sound so tight. The bass is kicking on them. We got them set up.
Oh.
Moral of the story. There's no moral of that story. I don't know.
Sure. I like to think I listen to everything, but it's hard to say that without sounding like a tool. Anyway, so those are my two favorite bands. Movies, if I had to pick off the top of my head, it's tough, but I'm gonna go with Drive and Sin City. It changes. And video games, darn.
So many.
Liam, how many video games have you played? Here's a good one. How many games have you played from start to end? How many games do you think you finished in your life?
Every Ratchet and Clank game.
Really?
For PlayStation 2. Okay. Just about. Four of them, I think.
Oh, wow.
Start
to finish, like you finished the whole game.
Yeah. I played a lot of video games, like, on my PlayStation 2. Like, between the ages of 9 and, like, 14, I played a lot of video games. Yeah, not, like, an absurd amount, but I played a good amount. So all those games I finished, there was a couple, like, war-ish games. I played SSX on tour, which I loved.
That's Liam's favorite game.
It's about skiing. I love skiing.
I just picked up
some, like, 007 games, kind of. Dude, no way.
Yeah. Right,
that'd be sick. I can't remember them because it was a while ago, but I love those. I got a PlayStation 3. I didn't really play it as much. I played one Ratchet and Clank game and a bunch of Call of Duties, which I played a little bit and kind of got sick of.
And I bought you Street Fighter and you never played it?
I played it. I played it with my brother all the time.
Wait, really? You actually play it?
Yeah. I mean, not that much, because I just don't play video games that much.
Yeah, who's your main? Who do you play?
What's his name? The one who was in, Wreck-It Ralph.
Zangief?
Yeah, Zangief. He's my guy. He's my go-to.
That's great. I love fighting games. I'm big into Street Fighter. I'm not, like, good at them. I'm not, like, fucking esports and all that shit, but, I enjoy them a lot. I play a lot of, Street Fighter. I play a lot of, Marvel. Anyway, my top three games, I'm gonna go with three because I can't pick two. Yeah, Paul, give me a little sassy headdress.
Yeah. I promise. Okay.
I'm dragging on, but Fallout New Vegas, Paper Mario Thousand Year Door for the GameCube, and Smash Bros. Brawl. That's it. You guys haven't played any. Oh, you played Brawl. Paul hates Brawl.
I think
I'm just no good at it.
Yeah, I'll always whine when I want to play it.
I miss the good old days with the PS2.
What about Tony Hawk?
Oh, yeah, and, like, every Tony Hawk game, like, whatever.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Tony Hawk is the one game that, like, well, no, we have a couple games together that we all sit down and play.
Oh, we can talk what's the name of it?
I wanted to talk about that for a minute, because it was in the news the other day, but, we don't really have time to get into it. But anyway, yeah, our favorite game together is Conker's Bad Fur Day for the Nintendo 64. If you've ever played it, you might know that it has the dopest multiplayer ever. It is a third-person shooter, and it is so much goddamn fun. And
it's so dumb, it's awesome.
It's so dumb, it's awesome, and it still holds up great today, even though it came out, I think, in 2000, I think. I'm not positive on that, but yeah, anyway, that is the very first Friday Night Fiasco.
That's everything in the show right there.
Recommendation. Hold on. Friday Night Fiasco, pick of the week. That was the More You Know sound effect. lost on you. Lost
yeah.
on you.
You
uncultured swines.
Swines.
Alright, so that's it. Those are the three of us. And we're all cool guys, and we hope that you like us. Anyway, before we. Usually in this. Let me talk about the layout for the show for a little bit. Our show is typically going to be a three-segment show. We're going to start on our first segment, which we'll talk about the topic of the week. We've got some great stuff planned, but this week is just kind of a getting-to-know-you thing. Second segment, we talk about what's new and cool in the world. We're going to chat about what movies we've seen, what music we've been listening to, what's new, what's going on, and that's going to be great. And third segment is going to be what we like to call the party segment.
Party segment!
Party segment! We're going to do all kinds of fun games and activities, and a lot of the time it will involve you guys, the listeners, and we've got a great one planned for this week. I'm very excited for it, so I hope you stick around to hear that. But anyway, so that's what it's going to be like. And in place of a topic of the week, we're going to do like a get-to-know-you thing. So I've got here in front of me, actually, a couple of icebreaker questions from www.icebreaker.ws,
yay,
in case you want to follow along at
What's
home.
What's WS stand for?
I've never seen a WS website in my life.
Oh my
I don't
gosh.
Know what that means. This
oh
is weird.
This is uncharted territory.
And I barely read any of them, but I thought it would be funny and really uncomfortable.
Love it.
We love it. They don't know that either, so I'm gonna start. Here, hold up.
This is completely on the fly.
All right, I'm going to close my eyes and pick one, and it is going to Liam. What is your favorite thing to do in the summer? Oh, that's too easy.
That is way too easy.
That's stupid. Let me give you a better one. All right, ready. Liam, hold up. Who is your hero? A parent, celebrity, or influence in one's life?
Shit. This is good. This is.
You can feel the ice getting broken right now.
It's melting.
You can feel the ice melting below you. Hold up. I think I have like a trickling water sound of it. Oh. Who's your hero?
Goodness gracious. Okay. My hero,
come on,
is gonna have to be.
Come on,
our Lord
on.
And Savior, Jesus Christ.
Kill yourself. Just kill yourself. All right.
I'm on the spot. I don't know what to say.
Paul. All right, you're up next. Ready? And here we go. Paul Friedman. If you were an ice cream flavor, which one would you be and why?
Oh, that's tough.
Trend.
You know, no, I guess,
no
so
trading.
my favorite
real,
ice cream flavor to eat has got to be mint chocolate chip, but that's probably not what I'd be.
You're a girl.
What? I like mint chip.
It's fine.
But I don't want to be mint chip.
Let me
think. What is the green one?
Yo, shut up. I think I'd be pistachio.
Mint.
You'd be pistachio? Why?
I think I'd be pistachio.
It says and why.
Because I like nuts. Just kidding.
Yeah,
because I'm nuts.
Shot. Fuck, I don't have a rim shot. Oh, I'll do it. Okay.
Humorous.
Yep. Okay.
I don't know. It's just good. It's a little bit sweet. It's not too sweet.
Crazy.
I don't know.
Perfect amount of sweetness, Paul Elijah.
Perfect
Friedman.
Amount of sweetness, and it's green.
All right.
Here we
question.
Go. Let's keep moving. I'm up. I'm randomly giving myself one. Audience, my eyes are closed, and here we go. If I could have an endless supply of any food, what would I get? That is too easy. Mountain fucking dew.
Whoa.
We can say it.
Mountain what dew?
Are we gonna say, we can say fuck on the show, right?
Hey, if you don't mind.
I'm the host.
No,
do you guys have a problem with me saying fuck on the show?
Yo, you don't wanna fuck me on the show?
Let's all just fuck. Okay, this is, we're not gonna go, this is not gonna be our show, that's not gonna be us. If I could bring any endless supply of food, is Mountain Dew's a food? I eat it as a food. I chew on frozen blocks of Mountain Dew. I live on Mountain Dew, it's disgusting, it does horrible things to my bowels.
Lord. Yeah. Back to the anus.
He's a one track.
This is a recurring theme.
We couldn't stay away from the butthole that long. Alright, here we go. That's my answer, Mountain Dew. I love it. I love it. You're going to hear all about it. We're not drinking any right now because we're at Paul's house. Usually we'll be at mine. There's always going to be a supply of Mountain Dew there. All right. Ready, Liam? You're back up again. Closing my eyes. And here you go. Tell us a unique or quirky habit of yours. You get the worst one. You suck.
I know. A quirky habit of... Jesus. Okay. A quirky habit of mine... could be listening to Pandora on my radio.
Yeah, come on, definitely. Something else that we haven't told.
I don't know. I wish we could look at these before.
But that's the point. It's supposed to be off the cuff.
The point is, I would have an excellent one if I thought about it. We could fake it. I look at it before, and then
this podcast is real. This is the realest shit on the planet.
This is true. This is no
fucking. This is just the audience hanging out with us. This is just a conversation we would be having anyway.
Word.
Because we'd totally be talking about icebreaker questions.
Quirkiest. Damn.
One quirk of Liam, if he can't figure out what he's trying to say, he will stop mid-sentence and say nothing.
He'll just sit there in silence and just stare off
until he can figure it out, and then he will continue right where he left off.
Yeah,
that's pretty quirky.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's a good one. I'm glad you came up with it, Paul.
Good thing.
All right, I've picked out some of the better ones now. Hold up. Paul.
Oh, so Paul gets to go?
I lost it. Paul's next. Yeah, what do you think?
Well, you're picking the good ones for him, but...
Paul, what is... No, that's the same... Oh, that's stupid. That's the same question. All right, here we go. Since Paul is the big movie guy. Psych, though. No, Paul likes movies. If somebody made a movie of your life, Paul Friedman, would it be a drama, comedy, romantic comedy, action film, or science fiction?
Rom-com.
It would definitely be a science fiction.
Yeah.
I could see myself as, like, captain of a spaceship. What?
Paul Trek?
Star Paul.
That's good, I like that.
That's my movie.
Space Paul! Yes! There we go, hold on, you get the ding bell, I had it minimized. There we go,
yes,
1 point for Liam. Someone should be keeping track. Alright, here we go.
See, this is that real stuff that you only get live.
Alright, I'm moving to the next page of them, so I'm gonna do random again. Here we go, ready? And 1, 2, 3. Oh, this is for me, hold up. Okay. Where'd the cursor go? Hold on. Didn't pick one. All right, ready? Paul thinks it's really funny to try and fit as much of his microphone as he can in his mouth. if I could transport myself anywhere instantly, where would I go and why? And that's easy. The fucking moon. Because who wouldn't want to chill on the goddamn moon and hang out? And speaking of the moon, actually, this is a good time to bring this up. You may have heard our theme song coming into the show. That is actually called The Moon. It is a remix of the song from the NES DuckTales game. It is great if you've never played it, but that's besides the point. It is one of my favorite video game songs.
DuckTales!
Woo! Yeah, things got me. The game is so good, though, but anyway. That is a remix by this cool guy I met online called Ethernaut. He's dope, and he's a super nice guy, and I talked to him for a little bit, and he gave us permission to use that song. And you can get him at, I think, soundcloud.com/ethernaut, but I don't want to fuck that up, and I don't have it in front of me right now. So check in the article in which this is posted, and there's going to be a link there, so you won't miss it.
Go to it.
Yeah, go to it and check out his music, because it's all super good, and he's a great guy. And if you're listening, hello, Ethernaut, thank you again for being so cool.
Love you.
So anyway, that's about the moon. I hope you like that song. Anyway, so here we go. Let's do a couple more. Let's keep this going, like one or two more. All right, here we go. It's Liam's turn. I have to pick one out because you can't do like any of the moderately challenging ones. Here we go. This is good. You've been given access to a time machine.
Yes.
Where and when would you travel to?
Oh my god. Okay. This is where I would travel. In light of recent events, I would go to, I would go to, New York City in 1920. To shit, live the so Gatsby good. Lifestyle.
That's kind of what I would have said.
Yeah, that's like really so close nice. To what I would have done. I would have done a couple years later, but that's fine. Not like great after Great Depression, post Depression.
Yeah, like the 40s.
No, the 40s is the greatest depression. Era. I'm all about the 40s.
I might agree with that.
Yeah. How about 20s? Skip the
film
Depression.
Film noir, the war.
Yeah,
film
the
noir.
War was
oh,
sick,
the
dude.
War.
Tell
what
me
do you
about
freaking
it.
Do? That's definitely nothing.
Hey, let's talk about history more. That's what our listeners want to hear.
Yeah.
In 1961, went to war again.
Remember how it doesn't sound good when
I
you
know,
do
I remember when I wasn't supposed to do that? Okay. Yeah. I hope that was still funny. Hold on.
Surprise, it wasn't. And now he's finding a sound effect.
Yeah, now I'm finding a sound effect to punish myself. All right, let's make this the last one, because we are trying to keep this podcast shorter than it was when we first recorded it, and it was bad. Too long, we've rambled on about everything. All right, here we go.
Like we are doing now.
Paul Friedman.
Yes.
This one's for you, baby.
Paul Friedman. This one's for you.
Oh, I'm trying to pick
I've been searching everywhere, and I can't see.
Fuck, I
should have
saved the time machine
Polly.
One. That was so goddamn good.
Polly.
What are you?
Polly.
What are you I don't know what you're doing.
Molly by Tyga.
Oh,
duh.
Okay.
Except Polly. Sounds the same.
Did you pop a Molly?
Growing up...
I'm sweating.
All right.
Growing up, what were your favorite toys to play with as a child?
Oh, my God. When I was young, I always carried around a Thomas the Tank Engine train.
Let's fucking go. Thomas the Tank Engine's the greatest.
Oh, my God. I wanted to be
Thomas
the Tank Engine.
Thomas is the tits.
By that, I mean I thought I was a train. With a face on it.
Okay, well, that's a problem.
That is.
I never went that far.
That is an overextended imagination for you. But no. But that was probably my favorite toy. Aside from that, when I was older, I loved Nerf guns.
When Hell you
yeah.
were
you
older,
know those things? They're little plastic.
Yes, people know what Nerf
yeah,
guns are.
Yeah, come on, they're so much fun. Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh, definitely. I still have fun with Nerf guns. We still break Paul's out every now and then.
Oh my God, I have quite a collection.
Paul has a great collection, but we don't talk.
It's a secret.
Happen.
It's
anyway,
a guilty
so
pleasure.
I hope, audience, that you got to know us a little bit, and I hope that we get to know you, too. There's going to be a comment section, I think. Maybe if you want to comment and introduce yourself if we don't know you, because that would be great, and we'd love to get to know some people.
Hi.
We hope. Hi. Let's be friends.
Your contact info, you can send.
Yeah,
send
post your
yo, let's
game
get
address, phone number, social security. Credit card number. Actually, we have this special feature in our comment section where if you post your credit card number, if you type it in and then press post, it actually censors it for you.
Oh yeah.
So yeah. If you do that, it's actually kind of cool. You should try it out. I wrote the code myself.
I feel like this has gotten too far.
That was a joke.
We are not trying
joke.
To steal
that,
your
don't
identity.
Don't post your credit card information on our website.
This is bad advice.
You lose money.
FridayNightFiasco.com if you're not already there. We're going to wrap up this first segment, and I'll play us out with something I haven't decided yet, but it'll be great. And we will meet you again in the second segment in just a few moments. Where we can talk all about the latest and greatest of this week in time. Thank you guys, we'll be back in a bit.
Love you.
Up later. Good to see you again, Hip Hop Harry.
Same here. Bye, Mr. and Mrs. Baxter.
Bye, Mom and Dad.
See ya.
Let's meet everyone. Hey, everyone. This is Katie.
Nice to meet you, Katie.
How's it going?
Hey, Katie.
Hey.
You know, Katie, it isn't easy making new friends. So, when anyone new comes here, we like to give them a special Hip Hop Central welcome. Are you ready?
I guess so.
Okay, great. Here we go.
what you like to do. Let's start from here. Let's start with you.
My name's Davide and I love to tap. When you stomp your feet and your hands are clap. So just wave your arms and jump up and down. While I tap to the beat and spin around.
One for fun, two for help. Now it's time to introduce ourselves. Say your name and what you like to do. Let's keep it moving. Let's hear from you.
My name is
Hey Internet, it's Dan here. Just wanted to check up on you during the break, see how things are going. That weird little hip-hop song you just heard is from some Discovery Channel kids show called Hip Hop Harry. I don't know what it is, I've never heard of it, but I was looking for something funny to put here about making friends and introducing yourself, because that's what we just did for like a half an hour or whatever. But anyway, I hope you're not too uncomfortable because we've still got more show to come. Coming up here in the next segment, we're going to be talking about all the new stuff that happened in the world this week, because there was a lot of it, so I hope you will stick around and listen to that. And other than that, I just wanted to thank you guys a lot for giving us a chance today and deciding to listen to our podcast. It means a lot, no matter who you are, whether you're a friend of ours or someone that just heard about the show on the internet somehow. It means a lot that you're supporting us and giving us the time, and I really hope that you do choose to do so again. And we would thank you very much for doing so. So that's pretty much it. Oh, and I also wanted to ask, maybe if you did really enjoy what you heard here, maybe you could tell a couple friends about it. If you think we're funny, if you think we're kind of entertaining, probably not either, but if maybe you think that your friends will like us, you could tell them, and we could all share in the fun together. For everything related to the show right now, you can just go head on over to www.fridaynightfiasco.com. We're getting a Facebook and Twitter soon. Whenever we pull that together, we'll be on all of the social networks, not just those two. I'm sure you'll be able to find us everywhere. But we're a new show. We're still trying to pull things together. Also, iTunes, we're looking at getting on there soon, too. And maybe you're already hearing this on iTunes, and that would be great. And that would mean I did my job right. But anyway, so that's it, and I hope you are enjoying the show so far, and I hope you stick around, because we have a lot more in store for you, including our awesome third segment. So I will catch you later. Thanks.
Friday Night Fiasco, second segment. Goodness, let's go!
Buttholes. We need to talk about butthole.
And on that note, welcome back to Friday Night Fiasco. I'm still Daniel J. Collette, and my two friends here, Liam and Paul, are still with me, my cohorts. This, like I said, is the second segment, and boy, is it a busy one this week.
Woo!
Woo! This is a hell of a week.
Yeah.
There is a lot that went on in our lives in the world of entertainment. So during the break, actually, I just thought I'd let you guys know, we made a pact that we're going to try harder to not let the conversation come to buttholes.
Buttholes.
So,
see what it just did?
If you were if you were at all offended by
buttholes.
The first segment, I hope my sincerest apologies, and I hope you do give us another chance. We will promise to talk less about buttholes.
Buttholes.
So, with that, I want to talk about the like I said before, music, movies, video games, and we've got something in all three of those fields today. Let's start with video games. This week was a pretty big thing. We got sort of big. We had a Nintendo Direct this week. Liam's already fallen asleep. If you don't know, Nintendo Directs are like sort of the mini press conference presentations that Nintendo gives.
Nintendo Direct.
And they post on YouTube for their audience, their customers, rather than like for press or anybody, but
for Dan,
for me mostly,
specifically for Dan.
Mr.
If
Iwata,
if you look
gets,
at the views,
Mr. Iwata gets up there and he's
the
like,
"Number of views."
Hello, Dan. Welcome to Nintendo Direct.
I was doing the hand motion there. If you know what I'm talking about, you know. But anyway,
you don't know.
So there's
Nobody
some.
Knows.
I, What if our audience ends up being entirely like gamers, like people who play games? I hate the word gamer, but like, what if it's all video games? What if
then they'll probably love Mountain Dew and buttholes.
Then
so
that's the only.
Stop talking about buttholes.
That's
rule number one.
I want to drag it there screaming.
We okay. Should, yeah.
Buttholes.
I'm gonna start making a list of rules. We already have a couple that we didn't really talk about on the show, but first rule of Friday Night Fiasco: try not to talk about buttholes. Sometimes it happens.
It's
important sometimes. You just can't leave it out of conversation.
All right. Anyway, less about buttholes, more about Nintendo Direct. Cool. So we got some Nintendo news this week. If you watch the presentation, you'll know a little bit what we're talking about. If not, that's fine. You can listen in, and we'll fill you in on the news. So first thing, we'll talk about our reactions to it. The three of us watched it together. And I wasn't that impressed, you know. Nintendo's kind of in a rut right now, but I have faith in them. I think they'll pull it out. They're
on downward spiral.
Yeah, they're not doing great.
No, it already reached the apex of the downward spiral. It's probably coming back up now.
I don't think a downward spiral can have an apex.
This is the stupidest thing
I've
ever heard.
Look at apex.
Well, they're killing
boom,
it with the 3DS right now.
Boom,
it's the Wii U that's
boom, 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 apex.
Anyway, and I feel like they didn't do a great job of showing what they have coming up. But I think this is just kind of a teaser for E3. Anyway, so we
E3!
Saw...
E3.
In 3D. E3. That's me. That's my Iwata impression. If you don't know, he's the president of Nintendo. He gives most of the speech in these videos. So first thing we saw was the new Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games for the Wii U. The series is boring as hell. I've played, I think, all of them. I don't know, I might have like missed one or two, but
I played probably
the
like
curling
every single one
looked
of them.
So sick.
The curling looked dope as fuck. I have always wanted to curl with Wario. And
play the voice. Do the voice.
He's actually here.
Yes.
He's here in the studio with us today. Wario, would you like to go curling with me later?
Yes.
Yes.
I know, it's gonna be really fun. It will. It will. Thank you, Wario. We'll catch you later.
Bye, Wario.
Bye, Wario. See you later. I faded it out. That was great. I'm getting good at this. All right, so Liam actually kind of liked it. That was the only thing that like even piqued his interest at all a little bit.
They were skiing.
Yeah, because they were skiing in it. It looks okay. I mean, I'll see where it goes. I don't have a Wii U. I have a 3DS. So I think it's great. But if the Wii U can get its shit together, maybe I'll get one. I don't know. I
whoa.
Can you stop saying whoa every time I swear? You're annoying.
You're annoying.
Okay. I play PC game. I'm a PC gamer mostly.
PC gamer. PC gamer.
Liam thinks it's funny to make fun of me for playing PC games. I don't know why. But PC gaming master race. So whatever. Get off my back.
Yo, you know what was a good platform? The PS2.
PS2 is the greatest. It's one of the greatest consoles of all time. We can all agree on it.
Ever.
It's great. I love it. But we're not talking about PS2 right now. We're talking about the Wii U, and 3DS.
Nintendo Direct.
Liam is actually snoring right now. That wasn't a sound effect. I do have a snoring sound effect if you want me to play it.
That's okay.
And here's a fart. Sorry, I talked. Ah, shit, I did it. Okay.
Buttholes.
No!
So many buttholes.
Hold on, I have to play it. I have to punish myself. There's no one here. It's the sound of the.
Outside the studio.
The Friday Night Fiasco Studios. And whenever you say that, you've got to come with this sound effect. Friday Night Fiasco Studios.
Pew pew.
Okay. So, that game looked kind of cool. What else did we see? They just kept showing shit that they've already shown. I was bored to tears by the, like, 5-minute presentation of Mario and Donkey Kong March of the Minis or whatever.
I couldn't figure out what nationality the guy who was giving that
speech
was.
That guy who was
almost
never...
positive he was black and Asian.
Yeah, he was definitely like Asian. He's never been in Nintendo Direct before. I think his name was like CJ or something. Dude's annoying as hell, and his only purpose was to talk about games that are either coming out like tomorrow or are already out, and that was just a waste of everybody's time. So I was bored by that, and
except Dan was the only one who already knew about it because we were absolutely clueless.
Right, but like I
felt but still, it was news to I us could normal. Tell that I was less excited by what he had to say than by what Iwata had to say.
Yeah, and normally you see Bill and Reggie too. Reggie was in there for a minute, but you didn't get to meet Bill, which is fine. Bill's cool though; you like him. Anyway, we're gonna be seeing a lot of Nintendo Direct coming up in the next couple months with E3 and everything. But anyway, so there's that game. What else did we see? Wonderful 101 got a release date. That's fine, whatever.
Platinum Wonderful
cool.
101.
Yeah, Platinum Games is cool. That'll probably be a good game. Not gonna like buy a Wii U for it or whatever. But what else? What did you? They showed some more Game & Wario, which they just keep showing and showing. But I don't know when it's coming out. I think they have a date for it, but whatever. They have cheaply priced
it's
game.
It's a secret.
The one thing that I thought looked cool was Pikmin 3.
Yeah, definitely. Wait, let's talk about Game Wario first, because Liam liked it. They showed Game Wario is a new game coming out for the Wii U, and it's sort of like a collection of, like, mini-games, sort of, that just show off how cool the Wii U is, and it's kind of just like a tech demo that's coming out a year after the console comes out, which is fine.
The console's out already?
Anyway.
This is hard, dude.
This is really bad.
I'm out of my element.
I know, you're really out of your element. You can get into the element. You can enjoy this.
My element.
I can force this onto you.
I'm loving this forced
element.
Element.
Hey, you thought Pikmin 3 was cool. I'm going to lend you Pikmin 1 and 2.
I just want to play Portal. That's it.
Portal.
Have you not played that game?
I want to play more of it. I played a little bit of it.
Oh, that's right. I think you played some of it at my house, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was fun.
We're new. Look at it's a double sheet.
I'll lend you that. You'll like it. Anyway, so what were we talking about? You made me lose. Oh, right, Game & Wario. So they showed off a couple new mini games. One, it was like this weird kind of like, you held the gamepad, which is a touchscreen controller. You held it and you like kind of drew it back Angry Bird style, like to shoot a catapult at the screen, and you like tilted to aim
at
it.
And then an actual catapult came out and,
yeah, and then,
fired at the screen.
And then like you're supposed to land these little characters on like a target, and it's almost like a little bit bocce ball.
Yeah, that looked cool.
It was like Angry Birds meets bocce ball, and it was super cool. And that was
bocce ball and curling.
That was from a different game.
No, I said it looked like curling. The thing was a target.
Oh, yeah,
kind of like curling, more like curling than bocce. Well, not really.
Yeah, no, that was probably the point of most interest for Liam. He kind of liked that, right?
Yeah, that's true. And then I fell asleep.
Yeah, and then he fell asleep after that. Actually, but that was fine because nothing else really happened after that except for Pikmin 3. And we'll chat about that. Oh, my mistake. Sorry. Nintendo Direct. We're really forcing that joke. But Iwata's great. I love him. He's my hero. I'm not making fun of him. He's a great, he's just a funny little guy. So what do we see next? Pikmin 3 was the only other point of interest. And Paul liked this. Paul hasn't played. You can talk for yourself.
I mean, I don't play video games that much, but it looked kind of good. I like puzzle games and sort of like adventure games. I'm not huge into like the, war games or like shooter games. I don't know. That's just me. But it looked kind of like strategy based, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, Liam? He's nodding. Like,
Liam's nodding sarcastically because you can't see him.
Yeah, he thinks he's funny.
Damn, he's doing that.
He's making fun of me because I was not.
That is the correct answer.
I haven't played any other Pikmin games.
I'm gonna lend you Pikmin. You're gonna really like it. I promise.
Pikmin.
Sounds good.
It's going on the long list of games I'm gonna force you to play.
Right. I think the only games I've ever played through to the finish are one time I played through an entire Kirby game with Dan.
Yes, that was great. We played through Kirby in the Amazing Mirror for the Game Boy Advance. We played through in like two sittings.
Yeah, it took us like 4 hours. It was not even that long.
Way more than 4 hours.
Maybe it was like eight hours.
Yeah, it was like it's about like an 8 hour game if there's two people going at it. But that's my favorite Kirby game. It's great. Play it if you haven't. It's for the Game Boy Advance. You probably can't find it that cheap, but it's really worth it. You can emulate it. I didn't tell you that.
The other game I've ever played all the way through is a Frogger game on my Game Boy. That's
Stop
it.
Stop talking right now.
Fuck, you had a Game Boy?
Yeah, I had a Game Boy Advance.
Never let me have a Game Boy.
I have a,
You have a PSP.
I have a Nintendo DS.
That was after. Oh, yeah, I did have a PSP.
Yeah.
But that was like, I wasn't allowed to have video games until I was 9.
Wow.
I got a PlayStation 2 for Christmas.
What was special
nine.
About 9? Is it like you're finally in
Yo,
now?
Yo, once you're 9, man, you get...
Yo, once you're 9, you're fucked.
Yo,
out
you
here,
get
man.
A bottle of Jack and a pack of condoms. You're a man now.
That's how things work in the O'Shaughnessy O'Shanahan O'Malley family.
Get a big old... One of those comical... Irish mugs of beer.
Yeah.
Overflow.
A beer stein.
Right. So, Liam is a closed-minded butthole, and he'll never try any video games that I make him try. But Paul has a potential to enjoy my, to share my interest.
I'm only closed-minded to you.
Yeah, you are, because you're a douche.
I'm willing to try things.
Yeah,
but...
Paul's willing to try things, and I'm willing to force them on him until he likes them. So someday Paul will play all these games. We'll have fun talking about them. We could make it. We could make some good radio about that.
Maybe.
Anyway.
Some quality radio.
Yeah, quality radio. So I think that was it for Nintendo Direct. For this week, it was kind of a boring one. I was disappointed. Nothing really new. Oh shit! Except for the Sonic news, though. That was nuts.
Oh, Sonic.
I'm a big Sonic fan, and it was a huge surprise to hear that Nintendo sort of kind of owns Sonic at this point. I guess they're like, air quotes, working with Sega
so to make this game. Over.
So essentially,
it's kind
like,
of phagocytosis, if you think about it.
He didn't just say that word in like an offensive way. Like he meant like the function of a cell in biology.
When it eats another cell and takes its energy.
Yeah,
it's like saying,
it's
"Come
silly
with me,
name.
We'll be a team." Just kidding, you're trapped. Just kidding, I'm taking you.
That's actually kind of a good metaphor, because I can see that happening. Nintendo's
true.
Like, Sega, you've got this one IP that's like pretty great,
and
but you're fucking it up over and over and over. Let's just help you with that.
Let me engulf you.
Yeah, like come over to the dark side a little
bit. Let me surround you.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see what comes out of that. I feel like Nintendo can save Sonic, and I feel like there's a lot of potential for greatness again now that this is going on. So that's great. That's Nintendo Directo this week, and we will end that with a golf clap. So the golf clap is our transition into our next topic, and we're a little behind the times with this one, but the three of us just saw The Great Gatsby, the Baz Luhrmann film, and we wanted to talk about it for a while because we had lots of opinions. We've all just recently read the book, so it's all fresh in our minds, and we had a lot to say about it. So, I don't know, let's just talk some general reactions. Paul, how'd you feel about it?
I liked it a lot. I thought that the director, who does a lot of over-the-top stuff, was probably a good match for the film. For the story, rather. Like, I guess it sort of fit. I had a couple positives first. I think
we'll talk positives
first. I think they followed the storyline really well. A lot of the narration was really close to the book.
Mm.
Like, they were reading a lot of direct passages.
Oh, dialogue was...
The only really big problem that I had with it was one time they broke from the book kind of sharply in that one scene where there's a confrontation with Gatsby and Tom Buchanan.
But that scene really couldn't have been portrayed without that.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Before we get more into this, I guess, spoiler alert, but this is like the most read book in America for like 500 years. Just kidding, like nearly 100.
Also
but,
not really the most read book in America.
I mean, no, if you haven't read it,
like, sorry. I mean, you're gonna read it at some point. If you're younger than us, you'll probably read it at some point. And if you're older than us and you didn't read it, you should know the story anyway. I don't really feel bad, like, spoiling.
It's a literary canon.
Yeah. If you haven't
it's like talking
read
about
it,
Huckleberry Finn.
If you haven't read it, pause, go read it. It'll take you an hour. Come back.
Yeah, probably.
Took me not an hour to read it.
Yeah, I guess skip over the next, like, I don't know, 15 minutes if you really, really don't want to hear about it. But there's not really much to spoil. We just want to talk about our opinions on the film.
All right, and diving in.
Right, diving in. So, let's save that one scene for a little bit. So that's what you liked about it, the closeness to the dialogue, right?
Yeah.
And whatever else you said. I'm
sorry. What did you like about it?
I'm a little distracted. Liam, you go first. I'm trying to do something here. How'd you like it?
Okay. Watching this book.
Watch right off the bat.
Oh
god, I have the best story I'll tell in a couple minutes.
I hate you guys. Okay. So,
actually, fuck it. I'm gonna tell it right now.
No,
so,
let him open. Let him
fine.
At least say something.
Okay, good. Alright, I read this book, in my defense, to warm up to how Dan's about to shit on me right now. I read this book like 2.5 months ago, and I'll admit I barely read it. I read like half of it and didn't
Classic.
Even spark notes the rest of it. So, I had a relatively good idea. Just from hearing what other people had to say about it and just summarizing it and chatting about it and whatnot. So I kind of knew what was going on, but I wasn't like huge, like understanding it. I like the movie a lot. I'm relatively easy to please. I'm not that critical. I'm easy. I go with the flow. I liked it a lot. I thought it was really cool the way that Gatsby was portrayed with my boy Leo.
Yeah, Leo
is
great.
And how, what's his name, was portrayed with Spider-Man.
Yeah, right.
I was
not a huge fan of Spider-Man.
See,
in that.
What I noticed, impressed me. What I noticed was most people's complaints that I heard, because there's a lot of discussion about this, were things like that you're supposed to not like about it. I can't give an example, but I'll point it out once Paul picks some of them out, because he's a little critical asshole.
Yes.
but like the director clearly did some of these things on purpose, because that's how he's supposed to be portrayed. We didn't talk about that yet. We'll talk about it later. Anyway, I liked it. I liked when I was reading the book, I had a really pictured kind of really old fashioned kind of setting, like boring, black and white, all perfect. It's kind of not really what the 20s was, but it was a little bit more, I believe, than the movie portrayed. It was like a place that I actually wanted to be, and the parties were actually much bigger than I ever could have imagined, and I thought they were magnificent and
really
cool. Party scene
was great. It was just like scenery porn. Like
it was like
that's an interesting way to describe it. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah, like
I was chubbing.
I got a scenery chub. Oh my god, you have the loudest air conditioner on the planet.
I'm sorry,
audience. If you can hear that, that's Paul's air conditioning.
It just came on.
I'm here to cool you down. Be cool.
So all in all, I liked it.
That's us dying from.
You're the worst.
I know, I'm the worst. So you liked it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Anybody who was giving it like a 20 on Metacritic and Rotten Tomatoes is a doucher.
They're just wrong. It wasn't that bad.
Like I'm not gonna judge your opinion.
What like sure. a bad
20 out of like 100?
Yeah. See, because before I didn't look too much into it.
Like,
there was a ton of people. There was like not a lot of good hype for it. I don't know why. If it was people who were
no,
like,
the hype was so real for this movie. The hype was out of this world.
I meant
hyped all week.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, ratings is what I meant.
Oh,
not
ratings.
Hype.
Yeah.
Ratings were not good.
Ratings were shit, and I don't know why. I mean, like, I know why. Was, like, people have really specific complaints about it, but everyone's just being nitpicky and annoying. Like, yeah, it's a
like,
legendary
like,
book, but like, so is I don't know what.
Huckleberry Finn. Jane Eyre.
Well, no, those don't have
no,
movies.
No, but I mean, this is a book that people really enjoy, so the movie has to live up to high expectations.
Right.
And I think people maybe set their bar too high.
I think a lot of what happened was people got, not scared, but people knew Baz Luhrmann. Like, people know what he's up to, and I think, even I thought it too, and when I first heard about the movie, that him directing it could go horribly wrong. Like, this could have gone very wrong. It could have been, like, super weird, and it could have been like really out there. And he's not a bad director, but like just his style. If you were to not like give him, if you weren't to give him the benefit of the doubt, like you could, I could see him fucking this up, I guess. And I guess like I don't know. People really didn't want that to happen, and it didn't really, but it did enough that people were angry. But anyway, let's not talk about other people. Let's talk about us and the audience.
Nobody else matters.
Nobody else matters. We're the best. Our opinions are the greatest.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought the cinematography was great. Scenery was great. Closeness to the script, I loved. I mean, to the book.
Yeah, I'm very close to the book. Which is
so close to the book.
Unreal.
Wait, hold on.
Even
did
down...
anyone... Wait, in the last scene, this is big spoiler alert. Turn this off. If you haven't read
big
it,
big spoiler for a movie that is exactly close to a book that was written like 60 years ago.
But at the last scene, when Gatsby pulls his hat out of the pool and he's just kind of looking and waiting for a sec right before he gets head out, like he kind of like stands up at the ladder and he's looking out.
Yeah.
Did anyone else think Titanic?
A little bit.
Well, he is Leonardo.
I mean, it's Leo, so you
I mean,
can't.
It's the same thing with Spider-Man. You can't shake it.
You can't
when
shake
he's, like,
it. But
dead in the pool.
That
like,
was my. That
I've
was one of my favorite
before.
Scenes. Holy shit, that was shot so well. It was so close to the book. Like that's.
I didn't like it.
That's
it was so sad.
Yeah, I mean, it was sad, but that I liked the way that Luhrmann did that better than I liked the way that Fitzgerald wrote it. I thought the way that Fitzgerald wrote it. I mean, I don't want to dump on like one of the greatest books of all time, or whatever. I'm not a reader, but. I don't want to say he did like a shit job, but I didn't like the way he described Gatsby's death. It almost like passed me by a little bit.
Yeah,
way.
He. It's
but
just
I'm
like
I'm a bad reader.
The only thing he said is like the gardener heard the gunshots.
Yeah. Like, right, and it was so subtle, and I didn't like that. But they played it up a lot, and they made you feel it. It was great. That was one of my favorite scenes, and also another one of my favorite scenes was Gatsby meeting Daisy. Holy shit, that was so good.
Yeah.
When they go to T and and Nick's house, and that fucking like floral arrangement and shit, that was so good. God, I loved it.
It's probably my favorite part.
Yeah, and Leo with the clock, and when he breaks the clock and knocks it over.
No, that was well done.
Yeah, it showed a lot of depth and breadth for him. He's not playing a serious character, but he was able to infuse just the right amount of comedy, I thought.
What did you think of what's her name, Carey Mulligan?
I'm in love with Carey Mulligan. I think she is the greatest, but part of that's just because she was in Drive, and everybody involved in Drive is my hero.
True.
But Carey Mulligan is beautiful in all of her, and so I can't really hate her as Daisy. But that was probably the biggest complaint I heard about everybody that I've talked to and saw the movie as well.
Who's Daisy?
What?
Who's Daisy, you mean?
Carey Mulligan is Daisy, yeah.
What was the complaint, though?
People just didn't like the way that Daisy was played. Like, they didn't like the way that she acted the part.
I thought she was really good. I thought she did a good job of showing sort of, like, Daisy's emotional conflict, I guess. Like, I think some people expected to sort of, like, hate her, and I actually kind of liked her more because she showed that conflict.
Right. I think a lot of what happened was, in the book, Fitzgerald really makes you hate the characters. Like, he doesn't, like, he really goes out of his way to show how shitty every single one of them is.
Yeah, like, people, like, and you're supposed to hate, I mean, you're not really supposed to hate them, but you're kind of not supposed to like Daisy that much, because she's kind of a
bitch. In the book, she's a prick, yeah.
So people didn't like her in the movie because that's exactly how she was portrayed. They're like, I don't like her. She's a bitch. I don't like her.
No, but what I heard people... I mean, I don't know if that's what you thought, but I heard a lot of people... I don't agree with this, but I heard a lot of people saying that it was bad how much she made you like Daisy.
I liked Daisy in the book,
I liked what's-his-name too much.
Tom. We'll get into him, because he was out of this world. Joel Egerton did an incredible job.
Absolutely. No, I mean, I thought his performance...
Hands
like,
down, he stole the show in every single scene. I only wanted to pay attention to him.
And I would argue that that's maybe a problem.
Yeah, man.
Ha!
Yeah.
Gay!
Gay!
Okay.
But, I mean, I would say, like, the movie wasn't supposed to be about him. Like, I thought in the book, he was definitely made out to be someone you dislike, especially in that final scene where he admits to telling Wilson that it was Gatsby who killed his wife.
Yeah.
And you're meant to hate him, and actually I thought that I kinda liked him. Like in the argument with him and Gatsby, I almost sided with Tom. I was like, well, Gatsby, you are kinda
Gatsby
stealing
just put
his
him
woman.
On blast.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I thought he was great. I think that's another big problem people had was that the characters were just too likable. Everyone in the cast was just too good.
I mean, which is like a weird complaint. Like,
it's
awful.
God, I'm so pissed about how likable they are.
Yeah, I know.
I guess this is like the only case where I could see that as a problem, but I didn't. It didn't bother me. I liked it a lot. Joel Edgerton was great. I think he was the best actor out of everybody.
Possibly.
You think Leo was better?
I mean, a lot of people didn't like Leo.
I heard complaints.
Just
because
he wasn't like.
I love Leo, anyways. But
how could you not? Right?
Actually, no.
Basketball
a lot of
Diaries.
There was like
maybe the one thing that bugged me is that one scene where you
weird.
First see Leo and they like he kind of turns around and smiles and they like explode the fireworks in the background. That for me was maybe a little over the top.
It was hammy, but I liked it.
Yeah, it was cute.
It was more playing up Leo than it was playing up Gatsby.
Yeah, partially Leo, but I just the movie made me like the character Gatsby a ton. Like, I want to be him.
Yeah, he was such a great guy.
I don't want to die.
I don't want to get shot, though. Shit, man.
Yeah, in a pool.
So we liked the movie. Any other positive things you want to say about it?
No, I had positive reactions.
Believe the hype.
Believe the hype, whether people tell you not to or not.
But don't go into it being like, oh, it's going to be perfect.
Yeah, don't let us hype it
like,
too much, because we do have some pretty big complaints here.
Yeah.
And we're about to go off on this movie. We're about to lay down some critical critical pan on this film.
All right, lay it down.
So I'll start it off, because I've got a couple things. What bothered me the most was 3D. I hated it.
Oh, it was terrible.
This is a personal gripe, I guess, because I know people like 3D and whatever. And we had to see it in 3D because of timing. We couldn't see it in 2D, which is a bummer. I never see 3D movies. I hate the glasses. It's just uncomfortable and not how I like to enjoy a film. But the 3D in this movie was just distracting. It added, I felt like in 90% of the time, it added nothing to what was happening on screen.
Yep.
Other than just being pretty, which I guess is sort of the point of the movie, but
but it wasn't pretty. It changed the frame rate.
It wasn't. That's my problem. You got it. The fucking frame rate in this movie. God damn it. I brought this up with a group of people and everyone's like, damn.
We sound like such tools right now.
No, I know. I brought this up and I was talking about it with a big group of people and I brought this up and they were like, damn, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
But it bothered me so goddamn much and I'm glad I can relate with you on this because when... I don't know if it was the more that was going on screen, like, with 3D or not, because I don't think that's how 3D works at all, but I noticed a lot in this movie that there were awful frame rate drops. The movie would fucking crap out. It would just, like, I saw a lot, I think, in the party scenes. Like, I can't remember, like, specific times. I'm, like,
writing down. One specific time is the chase scene with the cars, and it's because the fast motion, when something pans across the screen or when, like, the car zips across the screen, instead of moving fluidly across the screen, it looks like it's skipping quickly across the
screen.
It's
choppiness. If you don't know what frame rate means, it's essentially like when the movie looks too choppy, when suddenly it starts from looking smooth to choppy because maybe the camera's moving fast or something like that. And it's in the year 2013 is absolutely not an excusable problem.
Yeah, no, it's like you can, it's like reverting to the, like you can tell that a movie is a series of pictures.
Yeah, and let me clarify, it's not the parts when they like pretended to show 1920s film. Like, you mean,
no.
Like when they showed back then.
It's not that. Like the vintage footage.
Yeah, it's not the vintage footage. The actual footage that they shot for this was fucking broken.
I mean, broken is a stretch, but
broken is a stretch, but to me, that bothered the hell out of me. Like, why can you get away with that?
I would almost,
who okayed that?
I would almost like to see it in 2D just to see it.
Okay, but that's the other thing, because I thought that would fix the problem, but I talked to somebody who saw it in 2D, our friend Sally. She's a friend of the show. You guys don't know her. Maybe you do.
She's cool.
Yeah, she's great. She's a friend of ours. And she said she saw it in both 2D and 3D. She's a big Gatsby fan. And she said that she also noticed the problem in 2D. So maybe it's this movie in general. Maybe 3D didn't cause that. But I'm not... I don't know. I feel like it had to have something to do with it. Like, in the conversion, in the post... In the,
Yeah, probably because it pops out in, like, the foreground.
Yeah.
I mean, this must have been a high-budget film. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, they had
Hold up,
a stacked cast, a huge set. I mean, those cars.
Well,
themselves
at first
were...
it wasn't. It started off with a not that. Here we go. The budget is estimated at $105 million.
That's not that much, actually.
$105 million
really isn't that much.
I mean,
yeah,
for a movie
It started off a lot smaller, and then the movie got delayed. It was supposed to come out in September. And then, I mean, not, so it was like December or something, and then all of a sudden it got delayed, and I guess I heard it was because of, like, 3D, and they wanted to do more effects with it, which was a horrible decision, but I guess at that point the budget jumped up a ton, and then this went from, like, a AA movie to a AAA movie.
Yeah.
And that's where that came in.
As far as 3D, it's just because I'm so going with the flow, I kind of liked it. Because
it's,
I like
no,
how,
it's not a weird
I liked
thing to say.
How, like,
everyone's
it didn't,
saying
well,
that.
It didn't
everyone
give me a headache. A lot of people just got a headache from it.
No, I'm not like that. Like, I play 3DS. It's glasses-free to 3D, and that doesn't bother my eyes at all. It doesn't bother my eyes. I just find it uncomfortable.
I just liked the difference in how much I focused on, like, whatever was in focus. Like,
That was a cool effect. I know what you're talking about.
That's, like, the only thing I noticed. That's the only thing I liked. Like, I took glasses off because you could pretty much see it just as well without the glasses. And I was like,
You mean the depth of field?
Yeah, I know exactly what he's talking about. They play with levels a lot, levels of field in the 3D.
I really like that.
And I remember a couple scenes. I know one of them was with Joel Egerton, Tom Buchanan, and I forget who else was in the scene, but he was having a conversation with someone, and that person was behind him, and he was facing the camera, and this focus would switch back and forth between them. Mm-hmm. It would switch from the person behind him to him, and that like happens in film all the time. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But when you do it in 3D, there's something extra special about it. So I agree with that. That was one of the few times the 3D impressed me.
Yeah, that's what I liked.
And the other one was during the title sequence.
Yes, that was cool.
That was cool. I mean, whatever. Yeah. It's like, you guys can put that together.
Yeah, the rest of it, I was just completely irrelevant because I didn't pick up on any of it because that's how I roll.
But I heard so many positive things about the 3D. I was like, is this going to be the first 3D movie I ever like? I haven't heard any complaints about it. And like everyone was saying, the 3D is fine. It's fine. but it wasn't. I didn't like it at all.
Regular movie 3D I've never loved, but IMAX, you know, like, what IMAX is.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
That is incredible. That is, like, the one 3D that I...
That's 4D. Is it? You can call it 4D.
I mean, 4D is... We don't really have four dimensions this world. But
The fourth dimension. Dude, that's a hypercube.
Tell me all about science, Paul. All
right, let's not go there. But, yeah, let's talk about physics.
What else did you not like? I'll let you guys go. I have a couple more things.
I'm too easy going. I can't.
Oh, wait, that one scene. Okay, this is, I mean, I know that I sort of brought this up, and this is, like, a very minor thing.
Yeah.
And you could argue that maybe they had to do this, but there's that one scene where Gatsby and Tom are having a confrontation about Daisy.
It's in the hotel room.
It's in the hotel room. And in the book, you can tell that Gatsby goes too far, and that's why Daisy starts to draw away from him. Mm-hmm. But in the movie, Gatsby freaks out, and he grabs Tom by the collar and holds up his fist,
yeah,
like he's threatening him. And that immediately, like, it was like, the whole thing was so true to the book, and right at that moment, they just lost me. I don't know. I thought it was maybe unnecessary. Uh-huh. Like, maybe film-wise, you had to see that visually to tell that he went too far. So maybe it was necessary, but that's my one big complaint.
Yeah, but let's talk about that for a second, because as a counterpoint, for someone who comes from a different, not background, but a different focus or interest, I'm more of a film person. I think you're not necessarily a book person, but
yeah,
you're coming from a standpoint of someone
book person,
bookworm,
nerd.
You're coming from the perspective of somebody who like really appreciated the book and everything. And it's not that I didn't. I'm just not a reader. And coming from a film guy, like, I'm not a film guy. Stupid, but coming from somebody who
I know what you mean.
Yeah, you know what I mean, right? I can see that. I see that as completely necessary, and I'm not mad that it happened at all because I think it's like one time. It's not. I know you're not saying it's the worst thing you've ever seen.
It was weird because it said I was so ready for an interpretation. I'm doing air quotes. Of Gatsby, so I'm like, all right, this is not going to be verbatim Gatsby. I'm ready for it, and it was, and I was like, cool.
Maybe.
And then this one moment broke it for
you.
It didn't break it for me, because I was like, that's weird, but then I was like, that was necessary, because I just wouldn't have picked up on it, or especially not knowing the book, wouldn't have picked up on it if he didn't, like, freak out, because, again, liking Tom too much, you would have been like, whatever, this would not have been a breaking point for Daisy something bigger.
I felt it to be totally necessary, and I think it's sort of in the same vein like we were talking about with the last scene, not last scene, but when Gatsby gets shot.
Mm-hmm.
Spoilers.
He got shot, guys.
Gatsby got shot. He has 6 kids at the end. They're all orphans. That didn't actually.
That's not true.
I'm just fucking with you now in case you're still listening if you care about spoilers. I feel like it was necessary to make that change, to exaggerate it, to have it translate better to film. I know I'm having a hard time putting this into words, but I feel like it was necessary to transfer those subtleties in Fitzgerald's writing into film.
Yes.
I feel like that was necessary, and I think if they played it down any less, it wouldn't have worked.
The one thing it did for me, though, is it made me dislike Gatsby, because you felt the freak out, and it made me dislike Gatsby, and it really cemented me on Tom's side.
Yeah, that effect happened a little bit too much.
And that's why at the end, like, I wasn't even really sad that Gatsby died. I mean, that's a stretch, but like...
Yeah, I know.
I felt bad for Tom, because Gatsby was trying to steal his woman.
He's Mr. Steal Your Girl.
He's Mr. Steal Your Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another effect. Hold on.
Yeah, you got
thought of one. This is also kind of a little bit necessary and a little bit to character, but I guess there was one point where I got a little uneasy about it. Is Gatsby saying "old sport"?
No. So I had this conversation. Yeah.
It was good. Like the whole beginning, because he's like a poor kid who was taught to act proper, and obviously by like this British dude. A wealthy British dude, and it was necessary for his character because he was like kind of forcing it because he's not a well-spoken, instinctively well-spoken person, so he's kind of forcing it. But I guess there was one point where he said like "old sport" in a out of place British accent like 4 or 5 times in a minute, and I was like just a little bit too much. Yeah. But otherwise, I see how it was necessary.
I see your complaint, but I also think that it was a great subtlety that Leo pulled off in his character. He was, I see that as him reading between the lines and understanding his character in that that wasn't natural for Gatsby at all, and he was forcing it. And maybe Leo played it up. Maybe he wanted everybody to know that he came up with this little thing. But I like the way that he did it, and I thought it was charming and excellent. Is that all you have to say about that?
Yeah.
All right. We'll keep this moving a little bit. I just want to talk about a couple more things. I felt like the pacing, especially in the beginning, was super fucking weird.
What do you mean pacing?
Pacing as in, like, the whole flow of the movie. In the first, I don't know, hour and a half, not hour and a half, I mean, like, the first half hour or, like, 45 minutes, it moved super fucking fast. Like, it assumed that you knew everything, which is fine, because probably everyone does.
Yeah.
But it assumed a lot out of you and really moved through stuff fast. Up until, I don't know, maybe a little bit before Gatsby meets... What are you doing?
Damn. Scratching the roof of my mouth.
Oh, wow.
That is weird.
Up until right before Gatsby meets Daisy, I felt like it did. It felt... This is going to be weird, but it felt like less of a movie and more of a musical. Because of the weird...
That's...
The heavy focus on music and the...
Yeah, they were really trying to throw in that Jay-Z and...
I like the soundtrack a lot. It's great.
I mean, it wasn't 20s music, but I don't care because you got to appeal to the audience.
Yeah, no, it's cool. I like what they did with it. I wouldn't have added any other
Some
way, to be honest.
Some people complained about it. But fuck them.
Yeah, fuck you if you didn't like the soundtrack because it's mostly good music.
Well, that's part of the interpretation thing. Like, yeah, people are like, oh, that wouldn't have happened in the 1920s.
What do you want to listen to fucking
ragtime for 2 hours?
Maybe
we can listen to the Entertainer for like 2 hours, or we can listen to
and we can then gouge our eyeballs out with fucking forks.
Well, actually, no, because we did listen to Lana Del Rey's original tune probably 6 or 7 times. They really forced that one down your
throat.
They
were loving it.
I hate that. I don't hate it. I dislike Lana Del Rey. I don't like her music. I find it irritating. But they really forced that song down your throat. It's part of the overture. It's part of, like, all the soundtrack. Like, not just the song itself, but, like, it's part of the whole score of the movie. And they incorporate it over and over and over. It just keeps coming back, and you can't avoid it. But... if you like the song, then you'll have a great time, but I just didn't. Anyway, what was I saying? The pacing of it moved so fast in the beginning, it felt like a musical. It was weird, because another thing, a little thing that I kept noticing was that they had people lip-syncing the lyrics to the songs.
Yeah.
Whenever there was a song with lyrics playing, there's always somebody lip-syncing it, even if they looked super out of place, so that just, it just added to it. It felt like a freaking musical. I don't know, maybe I'm weird.
The time I noticed it was a girl... I didn't even notice it all that much. A lot, like, I kind of did, but the girl on the piano was singing one of the songs, and it was just, like, one woman singing, and she was lip syncing it, but I'm pretty sure she wasn't actually saying the right words, or it sounded, or it looked like she was delayed or early in some way. I was like, that is she supposed to be singing it? Because she looked like she was just kind of like mumbling it, like singing to herself.
Yeah.
But it was like a big, powerful voice. I was like, it's weird.
Yeah.
I'm confused.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying.
Wait, can I talk for a sec about that one chubby black girl that they had as a recurring character?
Yes, there was the extra that kept coming back.
Yeah,
she was that one extra. And they had her always in like skimpy clothing, like lingerie, kind of like dancing. And she was just like,
there were like
a bunch
of beautiful girls around her.
She was like just a little bit too big to be the center of attention always. Now
dick.
I sound like such a dick.
No, I agree with you too. It was weird.
Come on now.
It felt like
Boz
found this one extra who he really liked and just kept putting her in different costumes and maybe hoping that people didn't notice. Unless he was doing it on purpose, then sure, she's some unnamed character that keeps coming up at literally every turn.
Yes.
But it was weird. I agree.
I didn't.
I mean, like, that's a lot. That's a lot of my complaints. That's like pretty much all. Like,
that's a lot of Gatsby right there.
That is a lot.
We
of
talked
Gatsby.
A lot about Gatsby. You should really wrap this up. Do you have anything else to say?
No.
I'm good.
I liked it.
All right.
Quality
and
stuff.
With that, we will transition small golf clap into what have we talked about so far, Paul?
Gatsby.
We have talked about movies. We have talked about video games.
So what's up next?
Music.
This was a massive week for music.
Music. That's
not only did we get, maybe just for me, but I don't know. Let's talk it out. We got new albums by Anima Noguchi.
Anima Noguchi.
I like it a lot. It's great. But we're not going to focus on that so much. Also, a new album by The Bad Rabbits. And I'm going to play a little bit of
Even
a quick,
I can appreciate
a quick segment for that, because The Bad Rabbits If you don't know them, you should. They are the most unclassifiable band of all time. There is nothing good to call them. Are they hip-hop meets rock? Are they hip-hop with funk? Are they funk-hop?
They're what is funk-hop?
I don't know. I just made that up.
You're just throwing funk pop-hop.
It's what it is. It's what it is. But
they're like a little bit R&B.
They're a little bit... I would call it R&B meets rock.
There is no way. They
meets alternative rock in a way.
With some techno.
With a lot of electro. It's a lot in there. But it's... They are absolutely hands down. No matter what your interests are, they are one of the best bands right now, and you need to know about them if you don't already. So
you need to.
Bold statement.
You have to. You don't have a choice. I'm gonna play a little segment of one of their songs off the new record. It's called "Doing It." They're actually from Boston. They're a local band, I guess you could say. They've opened for literally everyone. They are the most diverse band. They've opened for Taking Back Sunday. They've opened for Kendrick Lamar. They've opened for Kenick. They did a whole Summer of Warp tour.
Damn.
They opened for... Oh, who was the other one? They opened for someone huge. I wish I could remember. God damn it. But they've... Like, it just furthers my point that if... No matter what music you're interested in, you will enjoy the Bad Rabbits, I promise. And if you don't, you don't have a soul. I've never met a person who doesn't like the Bad Rabbits after hearing them. But here's
even
a song.
I like him.
Even Liam likes him.
And he has shit taste.
So, quick segment off the new record. The new record is called American Love. It's out right now. You can get it, I think, badrabbits.com and also on iTunes. This song is called Doing It. I'm going to play a couple seconds. I hope I don't get sued. I don't know. Probably not.
We don't own this.
Don't. This is not our work. This is used without permission. But it's Bad Rabbits. It's called. This song's called "Doing It." It's great. I'm gonna play a little bit here. Let it open up your eyes. Okay, I hope you got as funky as we did just now. The three of us were all breaking it down during that. It just got weird. Yeah, it got weird in here. But that's the Bad Rabbits for you. If you like that, please go pick that record up. They are great. You can also hit them up on iTunes or whatever.
You should include a linger name at the bottom. Because I feel like that's also necessary for not getting
sued. Yeah, sure, it's a good idea. I'll embed that video at the end of this the page entry for this in our website, FridayNightFiasco.com. You'll find it there. So that's Bad Rabbits, but let's get on to the biggest release of this week, my favorite band in the world, The Wonder Years. They put out a new record this week. It is called The Greatest Generation, but it should be called The Greatest Album of All Time. Because it is so goddamn good. It is so good. It is everything I could ever ask for. Their previous album, Suburbia, which came out in the summer of 2011, it's been 2 years since, but that is my favorite record of all time. And this is rivaling it. It's so goddamn good. I don't know. I haven't listened to it enough to make any decisions, but...
Dan's gay for it. Long story short,
might
this
as well
is
have sex with
right
this,
now.
He
with
wants
this record
it in his
and butthole.
He sticks his wiener in the
Yeah,
hole.
You wish, but even Paul, who doesn't have, like, who barely has any interest in this genre of music or band at all, listened to this record and thoroughly enjoyed it and purchased it for himself.
I'll admit, I spent $10 on it.
Yeah, you
I bought
did.
It.
And it's the best $10 you're going to spend in a long time.
Debatable, but it was an enjoyable album. I got...
It's cheaper than your mom.
That's
Boom!
True.
Boom!
That's true. I'll admit that.
Hold up, I would get it.
You're just not on point tonight.
Point for Dan. Yeah, how point am I
now? Like that.
So,
it's point and place.
So, I don't know, I liked the first couple songs, and it lost me more towards the end, and that last song.
But then it grabs you again.
Pick me right back up. Yeah. Definitely.
But how about like Madeline though? You don't like it? The acoustic song.
I thought that that one was cool for what it was, but me, I don't know.
But nobody likes acoustic songs.
You liked it a lot more than I did.
Yeah, no. Liam, you're correct in saying. Oh shit! Wait, I forgot to tell the story about Gatsby.
All right.
About Liam.
Quick tangent.
I don't want to build up the story and then just ditch it. It's not that funny, but in the middle of the film, we're taking back to Gatsby for 1 second here so I can finish the story.
I already read the book.
In the middle of the film, I don't remember the context, but somebody says to someone else, like, someone's like, get Jordan and let's go. And I'm sitting next to Liam in the theater. It's totally silent. Like, everyone's enjoying the movie. And then he leans over to me. He's like,
who's Jordan?
In like the most serious and honest way, and then I just look at him for a second. He's like, "Shit, wait, never mind." And then he just turns around and goes back to the movie.
He knew it was bad immediately.
Yeah, he knew immediately what he had done wrong.
He did not know who Jordan was.
He had zero idea who one of the main characters in the movie was.
Forgot her name because she never talks and she's so irrelevant.
I mean, they did play her down big time in the movie, but
I didn't read the book for a long time.
Okay, so that's fine. Yeah, that's the story. I fucked it up, but that's fine. Whatever. All right, back to the Wonder Years, The Greatest Generation. This album is the third record in a sort of trilogy that the Wonder Years have been working on since 2009's release of The Upsides. That record, these three records are all about struggle, which is a sort of general thing, but it's hard to explain. It's not my words. I don't want to fuck it up, but essentially the first record is about internal struggle. Is about the singer, Soupy, who is an incredible lyricist.
I just saw more of Liam than I would ever like to see again.
Okay, it's getting weird up
it
in here.
It is getting
I'm just trying to talk about this record that I really
he
like.
He just shoved his hands down his pants.
Okay, that's
and
weird.
I just
no, you don't need to tell
the
them
wrong
that. You don't need to tell them that. You don't need to tell them that.
Gross.
Oh, man.
That was the wrong sound. You're all going. Okay, we'll just clean the slate with a bunch of farts. There we go. We're
oh, man.
Out.
All right, forgetting
okay,
that
Okay, that never happened. What was I saying?
You're
so,
scarred.
First record in the trilogy, The Upsides, is all about Soupy, the singer, incredible lyricist, great, really talented person. They're known for their incredible, like, piercing honesty in their lyrics, and it's better now than ever with this new record. But the first one is all about the singer's internal struggle, his battle with, like, depression and social anxiety and all this stuff, and how forcing himself to look at the upsides of it, like the title of the record. And then the second one, Suburbia, which came out, like I said, in 2011, was an external struggle, like fighting to find out where the band and the singer, specifically Soupy, fit into the world, like what made sense to them, where they belonged. And that was them trying to figure that out. And now this third record, as they describe it, is finding out that how little really those battles matter, not how little they matter, but how much it means that. What are you doing? Are you making fun of me?
No, he's looking at wieners.
That's weird. No, he's not.
I'm
guys,
not
he's,
looking
guys,
at
guys,
anyone's
we're not looking
wiener.
At each other's wieners. But
I'm not gay.
It's all about learning from those two battles and learning that maybe it's not important to dwell on them, but just learn from. I don't know. Maybe I'm fucking this up. I don't really want to because I respect it so much. I would feel bad to do something like this. But all about figuring out what they meant and how to grow as people from that. And that's what this record is, and it is the most perfectly concise summary of the past two that I could ever ask for. You're always worried when your favorite band puts out a new record, like, is it gonna suck? What are they gonna do? Are they gonna try and do something different? But the Wonder Years are consistently delivering with music that just keeps getting better and better. They haven't put out shit music except for like their really old stuff, which they don't even regard as like their own music. Like, they don't even like to talk about it because it's terrible. It's so bad.
Just like our first podcast.
Yeah, just like our first. It's true. Our first podcast is a lot like the first Wonder Years record. Don't listen to it, and you can't because we didn't put it online.
No, you will never hear that.
I was counting this as our first podcast.
Oh,
this is our first.
Okay, well, I guess this is shit too then.
I mean, it can only go off from here.
All right, so without rambling on too much, I'm going to play a couple of songs off this record because goddamn, does it mean a lot to me. We're gonna start with the opening track. It's called There. It is one of the most Is this a bold statement? It's one of the most emotional pieces of music I've heard in a really, really, really long time.
I mean, emotional is relative.
Doing
like,
it for love is pretty emotional to me.
Like, that's a lot of emotion.
Everyone's got their own things. Also, everyone's got their things that, you know, really make them,
right.
Make them emotional. I guess this is like, for you. To me, you know, some of those songs were really great songs, but, like, obviously I don't have that, like, deep connection with this music that you do.
That's totally cool. I'm glad I can still appreciate it
as music.
Yeah. Right, exactly. And I am, like, I'm deeply connected to this band in maybe kind of a weird way, but
I'm having a love child.
I'm essentially having sex with the Wonder Years. I truly relate with...
Never mind.
Don't forget I said that. We're forgetting a lot of things lately.
Like buttholes?
Like, stop! You've done it. You've gone and fucked up.
Right, now we've dragged it down the staircase and we are just clobbering.
Okay,
it.
Let me talk. I deeply relate on with all their music on a really personal level, and it means the world to me. And this song is exactly what I'm looking for. What I like the most. What's the most important? One of the most important qualities in music to me is a raw emotion, a real. You guys are so goddamn annoying. They're pretending to make out with their microphones, like, with arm behind the head style. We'll talk about that some other time.
That's a story for
another
day.
We've got stories for this podcast. We guys...
Stick around, you will hear them all, but not today. So
stick
come back
around.
Later.
But anyway,
I mean,
now,
today,
right now...
listen to all of this tomorrow.
Right now, you're gonna hear the opening track off of... No, you're not gonna hear Doing It Again. We love it. You can hear it later on your own time. But right now, you're gonna hear They're There. Ready? And... let's go. Hope you like that. It's one of my favorites off the record. It is a great song. It is massive. That's huge. That whole build-up is insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does that a couple times in the song, and that's incredible.
And it's a good way to start the album.
It's a perfect album start. I could see a couple of the songs on the record starting off, but this one is perfect. This is everything you could ask for in... maybe I'm gushing. Maybe I'm just being annoying, but it feels like everything you could ask for in an opening track. But anyway, that's that, and I'm gonna play another one, which is the first single off of the record. Maybe if you keep up with the stuff, you'll already know it. It's called "Passing Through a Screen Door," and it's another super personal one. Hold up, let me just find the right spot. All right, here we go. This is another super cool one. It's a lot faster. Most of the record doesn't sound like They're There. I mean, it has a very concise sound. It's all the Wonder Years, but they've really expanded on their sound in this record. They took a lot of risks. Maybe not risks, but they pushed their boundaries a lot further than they're used to, and it worked out really well in their favor. But this one is more of a traditional Wonder Years kind of song. It's aggressive, fast-paced, cutting edge. But this one's called
"Passing
Cutting Edge." It cuts right through.
It's on point.
What Paul had the best word to describe it, and it's charged. You called the first time I played a couple songs for you off the record. You called it emotionally. What did you say?
Yeah, like it was pretty emotionally charged.
Yeah, it's emotionally charged. That's the best way to describe the one.
No, this is them like pouring out their feelings. You know.
Oh, absolutely. More than like anyone I've ever. I don't know anybody really than them, but like I don't know them. Whatever.
We don't know them.
We don't know them. I wish I did. They seem like great guys. We should. How sick would that be?
Just imagine, but.
Right, like, we could also have, like, Jesus and Gandhi.
Okay, that's.
Did I just compare the Wonder Years to Jesus and Gandhi?
I think you went there, and that's maybe a stretch. I'm sorry, listener.
It's fine. Listener. We love everyone.
I'm sorry, individual.
And
listener.
I'm gonna stop myself now, and this is "Passing Through a Screen Door."
Looking for sense of the screen door.
hoped you like that. If you like that, you might like some of Wonder Years' previous music too. Being their previous two albums, this sounds most similar to the other two albums in the trilogy. But yeah, I hope you enjoy that one, and we're gonna play one more. I wish I could play the whole record for you. I wish I could, but I can't. And I'm gonna play the ones that I hope will hook you the most, but then there's even more beyond that. This is the last one I'm gonna play. It's called The Bastards, The Vultures, The Wolves. It's another...
The Bastards, The Vultures,
The Wolves.
Yeah, that's what we're looking for.
Yeah.
You're weird. It's got a similar emotional charge to it. It's also aggressive, and it's got a great bridge. It's so cool and powerful, but I'm not going to play that part. I'm going to play you the chorus instead. So here it is, The Bastards, The Vultures, The
and
Wolves.
And The Wolves. Oh, it's wolves. Not and the wolves, The Wolves. I'm so dumb.
Oh, fuck. That was just a short little taste of that song, because I don't want to go on for too much longer about this. I'm probably boring you if you're not interested, but I hope you are. I hope I could pique some interest in this record, because I promise you you'll like it. Like,
whoa. Well then.
It's not
bold. Putting yourself on a line there.
I am putting myself... I'm putting my abilities as a recommender. Abilities as a... I don't know. What would you?
All of your credibility.
Yeah, all of my credibility. That's good.
Which is zero.
He's putting his butthole on the line, right?
Yeah, I have zero credibility anyway, so I have nothing to lose.
Much
but,
like his butthole.
Not as much as the Bad Rabbits, but I feel like anybody can really enjoy
the Bad Rabbits are kind of universal.
Right.
This is at least...
It's less universal, but as far as this genre of music goes, you really don't need to be that dedicated to it to enjoy this album at all. And I really hope that you do check it out. It's out right now on Hopeless Records. You can get it on vinyl, which has been delayed, I guess, for a little while. I'm still waiting on my copy. I think it's going to be like a few weeks.
You have a turntable.
If you happen to be from 1970...
Don't be a douche.
It's cool.
If you get it for... They're keeping it cheap. It's $10 everywhere. I know Best Buy has it. They were doing like some pre-orders. It's already out by now, so that doesn't matter. But also $10 on iTunes. Please buy it. I promise you. I do. I promise you. Is that it? Is that what I have to say?
You're making yourself to be a liar.
I could be, but you could also really enjoy this record. If you're looking for more of my recommendations, check out Chaser. I forget which track number it is. That's another great one that I don't have time to
play. I really like Dismantling Summer.
Dismantling Summer is such a jam. That's the other single.
And The Devil in My Bloodstream.
Yes, that's it.
At this point, we're just listing songs from the album.
Right. But Devil in My Bloodstream... Get hyped for that song. If you're ready to hear this album, you need to have all the hype in the world for Devil in My Bloodstream, because I did, and I wasn't let down at all. It is easily one of the best songs in the album.
Yeah, one that we didn't play you, and probably for good reason, because then you'd have nothing to go listen to.
Right, it's not really something you can play just the segment of. It's kind of like a beautiful piece of music.
And it builds, and there's this one part where it kind of like, I can't describe it.
Don't
just go listen to it.
Just listen
to
it. I'm going to just leave this totally ambiguous so that you have to listen to it now. You're so hyped to hear Devil in My Bloodstream. So that band is called The Wonder Years. That record is called The Greatest Generation. Please go pick it up. And that, my friends, we will transition again with the golf clap. And that is the end of today's second segment. God damn, was it long. It's not usually going to be this long, but this week was massive in new things.
God damn, was it.
God damn.
Action-packed.
It was action-packed. So we are going to take another quick break. I have to pee so bad.
Yo, tell them about your bodily functions.
Word.
Buttholes. Could be talking about buttholes.
I love buttholes.
I need a sound effect to play whenever you guys bring up buttholes.
Please lick mine.
No, it's not going to be the failure sound. No, I'll figure it out.
Buttholes aren't a failure. They're just something that we need to avoid because you probably don't want to hear them.
Wario, you're back so soon. It's good to see you again. All right, I'm not funny. We're going to go take a break. We'll be back very shortly with the party segment. We've got a great game coming up.
Yeah, get hyped for this next section.
Is it like 1 in the fucking morning at this point?
Maybe it is.
Shh, it's fine.
All right, catch you guys in a minute.
The Greatest Generation is the third piece of a trilogy about growing up.
The Greatest Generation is definitely a Wonder Years record.
It's genuine and it's heartfelt.
It's almost in some ways more than the sum of its parts. I don't want to like romanticize it too much.
I think this record shows a new awareness of the band we are.
The best definition of our sound and of us as people in a sonic form.
It's got the fastest stuff we've ever done and the slowest stuff we've ever done.
You know, the last two records were battles, mostly with depression, with anxiety, with the world around me, where I fit into it. This is the realization that all the war did was get us here. And what matters now is how we grow from it, not how we learn from it, and what we do next.
Because we're a little bit older and we're a little bit wiser.
We wrote the record in a room that was falling apart above an abandoned sandwich shop. It was cold in the winter, it was hot in the summer.
But once we kind of just started writing music and thinking less, it all fell into place.
Every moment that we spent this summer all led to something.
We've all fought for every single part on the record.
You know, we fought for every part of this record.
And those 13 songs are the byproduct of sweat and pain and frustration and arguing.
Because all of us cared so much.
Hearing the record makes every argument and disagreement that we had seem worth it.
I couldn't be more proud of the record. We've really just gone all the way and spent all the time that we needed to
and wanted to take steps forward but make sure that they were in the right direction.
Hearing the final mixes of this record was probably one of the most musically gratifying moments of my entire life.
It feels like there's a weight off my chest.
I want to be remembered for more than this, and I think we all do. See, people say the Greatest Generation is come and gone, but they're wrong. They haven't seen what we're capable of.
Friday night fiasco party segment. Let's get high.
Welcome back. Get ready. It's time for... No, I don't have a good sound effect for this yet. I'm still working on it. But this is the party segment. Party segment is where we're gonna have competitions. We're gonna do whatever the fuck we want. We're gonna, I don't know, have conversations. If we've got like a good thing to talk about, we'll talk about it. But it's sort of a whatever, anything goes kind of thing. But today, we have, for our very first episode, we have a sick showdown competition plan, and there's
sick.
Yeah, it's sick, and there's going to be some consequences for the losers. It's high stakes stuff, so here we go. Without further ado, the big time Friday Night Fiasco big time showdown. Let's do it. That's our intro sound. Today's big time Friday Night Fiasco showdown is going to be a little competition between Liam and Paul, because
I'm gonna win.
I'm probably gonna lose.
This is sort of making fun of how uncultured they are, but I have this website here in front of me called the www.therapboard.com, and essentially what it is a soundboard of famous catchphrases and signatures by rappers, just every rapper from like every time. And it's just a ton of, if you're looking at it, it's just a ton of pictures of their head, of rappers' heads, and when you click on them, it makes a sound. So, here, I'll just start off with something that I'm not going to use in the competition, but, hold on, let me pick a good one. Here's something by Diddy. Like, there's a picture of Diddy's head, I'm going to click on it.
Bad boy.
That's Diddy. So, it's going to play a little clip like that, and there's, like, anywhere between, like, 1 and 8 future rapper. So here's what's gonna go down. Liam and Paul are gonna compete. We're gonna do, I don't know, we're gonna do a lot of rounds. Not a lot of rounds, but they're gonna be super quick. I'm gonna play a sound and they have to guess which rapper it is. And whoever says, you can guess as many times as you want, there's no buzzing in. The first person that says it gets the point. And I will be keeping track. And we're gonna go through this a bunch. And it's gonna be a shit show because neither of them know anything. Paul knows literally nothing. Liam has like sort of a mainstream base of what like might happen in this competition.
But yeah, could
wait, first we gotta talk about consequences.
No, hold on, I was getting there. So pretty much like low bets on Liam, high bets on Paul.
What?
Either way. Shut up. Shut up, you dick.
No, whatever. Whatever. It's fine. And I'm just messing. But Paul's out of his element, is all I'm trying to say.
I am fairly
as
out of my element.
As usual.
And per usual, Paul's out of his element. So let's see how this goes. So let's talk consequences. This is a competition to not have to do something shitty. The winner doesn't have to do something shitty. But right now on air, we're going to come up with a... We haven't talked about this at all. We're going to come up with a consequence for the loser. So let's talk this out. You two, we're going to compete. We're going to see who knows at least a little bit about popular culture. Maybe. I'm kidding. I'm just fucking with you guys. I'm not being mean to them. Remember, I can mess with them. They're my friends. But anyway.
Yeah, he's being mean.
Yeah, I'm being mean.
He's being kind of mean, but we're rolling with it.
All right, we're rolling with it. Nobody's crying
yet. I'm cool.
They're going to start crying when they get bent over by this contest, though. So, here we go. Paul, what will Liam do if you win?
Stick his dick in a toaster.
Is that reasonable?
No. Oh, hold on. That's not reasonable at all.
Okay. I should preface this with the consequence for the loser has to be something that we can take a picture of, and we're going to post it in a new article on the website maybe like a day or two after this episode airs. So it won't spoil it right away when you see the picture, but you'll see how things turned out in a quick little post. So,
I don't like this.
So essentially,
you're gonna see a picture of me doing something embarrassing.
Yeah. Let's do one consequence for the both of you losing. Like, there's only one consequence at stake here, not, like, each one.
A universal consequence.
Okay, so, what are you feeling? What are you willing to do on the internet?
Essentially nothing.
Essentially nothing. How about, it can be a picture or a video, right? Would you do something in a video if it's not too bad?
No.
Borderline child porn.
Child pornography is a good place to start.
Yes.
Psych, though, we don't endorse that at all. That's not our lifestyles.
You're not about the getting arrested.
How about shaving an eyebrow?
Yeah, right.
That's a little too much.
I lost a bet.
How about, hold on, here's a good one. What if you have to either go into McDonald's and order something or go through the drive-thru with a big Sharpie dick drawn on your face? And you have to do it in the most serious way, and if anybody says anything, just like play it off like it's not there. Like you can't acknowledge that you have a giant dick drawn on your face. And we'll do it on video. I'll like hide a camera somewhere, and we'll either do it through a drive-thru or actually ordering in the restaurant. How does that sound?
I mean, it's good.
That is still pretty high stakes.
It's clever. But for us, the participants, takes this game from fun and playful to real.
Really real.
Isn't that what we're looking for? Do you guys not want to get that real? Do you not care? Do you not care?
I'm
not committed.
I don't really
want to. What you're saying is you're a pussy.
I'm not trying to watch Paul not go into a McDonald's with a dick on his forehead.
You're not trying to not watch him not do that?
Yeah, because fuck that, I'm not doing that.
I'm not trying to watch Paul whine outside of a McDonald's with a T-Trons.
True, because I'm going to be the loser.
Yeah, maybe.
Or
we don't
Paul
know.
Come
we
out
don't
like, on fire, then you have to do it. I don't want to do it. What about a cardboard cut out of car through the drive-thru?
What the hell?
Walk through the drive-thru with a cardboard cut out of a car, and you're standing in it. And you go through like you're not holding a cardboard cutout.
Is that too easy? That's okay.
That's fun.
Yeah.
That is kind of fun.
We can all do it.
Yeah. No, well, you have to do it. We'll be like hiding in the bushes filming you.
This has got so weird, dude.
Okay, let's just, is that what you want to do? Let's just agree on something.
Where the fuck are we going to get a cardboard cut out of a car?
Well, no, make it, he means like make a cardboard box. Like, I have a cardboard box probably somewhere in my house.
Yeah, you just draw a car.
Yeah, like you stand in it and like hold it up with your sides and you just like walk like you're in a car. Is that good? Have we decided? Is that the consequence?
I'm not fucking doing it.
All right, let's do it. Here it is.
No, I'm not doing it.
Yes, come on, Ball.
No,
do it for the fans.
I'm not doing it.
How about, you're looking for anything right now.
I don't have any ideas.
We've already committed to it. You don't have any other ideas.
Fuck that.
It'll be so funny on video. Just stop. You have no shame. Who are you gonna embarrass? The people working the McDonald's window? Like, who are you gonna embarrass yourself in front of? I don't mean to, like, degrade anybody's quality as a person or standard, but come on. Like, you
don't
know
them. It's
not
the worst thing that they're gonna see.
Yeah, it's not the worst thing. I'm sure they see shit like that all the time. Like, that dumb coning thing that used to happen all the time with the ice cream cones. Like, they see their fair share of weird shit, I'm sure. If anything, it'll just brighten their day. Let's do it. Can we please commit to it? Don't
tempting. Maybe.
All right. Ready? Something here we go. Happens. Friday Night Fiasco Big Time Showdown, Episode 1. It's about to pop off. Are we ready, gentlemen?
No.
Brace yourselves. All
T-Pain.
Right.
T-Pain.
Good one.
Bad Rabbits.
Good one. Bad Rabbits. Point for Liam. Okay, so I'm going to just write this down here. Liam and Paul, and I will be keeping track. All right. I'm gonna start it off not too hard. We'll take it easy here. Alright, if I fuck up and click one that like accidentally has the rapper's name in it, then we'll just skip that. But we'll play this for a couple minutes and we'll see where it takes us. Wanna do 10 rounds?
Fine.
They're gonna take like a minute each.
Fine.
Alright. Or do you wanna play like first to whatever? No, let's do 10 rounds. We'll
10
see
rounds.
Where it takes us. Okay, ready? Here we go, first one.
Two chains. Yes.
Okay.
Does not count.
They're all gonna say the name.
No, they don't, because I went through and made sure a lot of them don't. I just forgot which ones were good. All right, ready? Here we go.
Convict music.
No, it's Biggie.
No.
It's Tupac.
No.
It's Jay-Z.
I wasn't listening. Play it again.
All right, ready?
Convict music.
Oh, T-Pain.
Drake.
No. No.
Lil Wayne.
No.
Convict music.
That's not him.
I don't fucking know any other names.
Kendrick Lamar.
Nope, you guys don't get it. Hold on, where's my...
Alright, I have an idea. For a consequence...
Yeah?
We have to dress up...
We already decided.
...in a bikini.
You're so...
No, he's not
going
to do that any more than he would the other
I would. One. That would be sick. I don't want it.
Yeah, well, you just like roleplay.
Okay. Alright, hold on, I'm trying to fix this really quick. Hold on. Technical difficulties, give us a second.
Who was that one?
Yeah,
I'm tired.
I know you are, Paul. Oh god, I messed up, guys, I broke it. I'm just trying my hardest. Okay, there we go, got it. So, here we go, we're back in. That is 0 points for everybody, and the name of that rapper was Akon.
Wow.
Gay.
Yep.
Okay.
Classic though.
It was Akon, right?
Well, I was thinking T-Pain when he was like, convict music, Navi Bubble.
I don't know. Maybe I don't know what convict music is. I don't know how much, but like.
Maybe so.
All right. Let's jump around here. Ready for round two?
Okay.
Okay. Here we go.
Sweat.
Biggie.
No.
Hold on.
That was a bad one. Let me play the other one by the same guy.
Whoop.
Tyga.
No.
Clay. Dr. Dre.
Nope.
Whoop.
Drake.
Rick Rouse.
Nope.
Whoop.
Lil Wayne.
Nope.
Shut up, Paul.
I'll give you a hint. He's a lesser known one.
Tyler, the Creator.
You're thinking too big. Nope.
Whoop. A Young Homa.
Bigger.
Whoop.
I don't know anybody in between.
Yes, you do. You know this guy very well.
T-Pain.
I guess I have to give you these hints. He's one I like to joke about all the time.
Oh my god.
Whoop.
Rick Ross. I said that. No, don't
really?
Say it.
Why am I so uncultured?
Don't say it. I know this one.
I can't give you too much time.
Man, I don't fucking know.
Dre. You know, who do you make fun of? I don't understand.
It's Lil B Bass God.
Oh, shut up. I don't even know.
Yes, you do. I play his music all the time. He's the one that's like, Lil B. Right. Thank you, Bass World, for being so nice. He's that one, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
The one who did the Caillou song.
I haven't even the slightest idea.
You're annoying. All right, here we go. So, the score is still 0-0. This is such a shit show.
We're gonna be doing it together.
Here we go.
What's that in?
What?
What's that in?
2 Chainz.
Nope.
I can't.
What's that in?
I can't tell what that is.
I'll play another
Yo,
one.
Yo, is it Biggie?
No,
is
stop it guessing Biggie. Stop. I don't think Biggie's even on here, so stop guessing him.
Fine, is it...
What's that in?
Dr. Dre.
No.
Tiger.
You're getting close. I'll play another one by the same artist.
Be a me, Trump tight, ho!
Lil Wayne.
No.
2 Chainz.
No, stop guessing the
be
same ones.
Be a me, Trump tight, ho!
No, it's Biggie.
Think more. Kenick. Think rap. Think from all times, not just right now.
I can only know right now.
No, I...
Vanilla Ice.
No, it's not like that.
What's that in?
Be a me, Trump tight, ho!
You're gonna kick yourself in the ass if you don't get this one.
Jay-Z.
Stop.
This is embarrassing.
I don't know.
This is just embarrassing, Paul and Liam, the show.
This is not even fun.
We both lose.
Alright, you don't get it?
No.
That was, in fact, Lil Jon.
Sure. I wouldn't have guessed that either.
Okay.
I forgot he was a human being.
See, I don't want to play this one because it would have been too easy.
What?
Oh, you could have. Come on. We haven't gotten a single one. Lil Jon.
All right.
No.
Here we go. We'll keep moving.
I'm not.
Luda!
What? Ludacris.
Luda!
Okay, there we go.
Get one!
He
Get
said,
Rick,
I have to make it that easy. I have to make it that
Luda.
Easy. I have to do ones where they say their own names.
Okay, good.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this.
Oh, MC Hammer.
Thank you. Liam, you're at 2 right now. He's pulling it back.
Booty,
he's pulling
son.
It back. It's getting real.
Damn.
What?
Damn.
That sounds like static to
Lil
me.
Lil Wayne.
Yep. There you go. It finally was him. I'm not going to do Lil Wayne again, so stop guessing him. All right. Ready?
Mr. 305!
Oh, Yo, Kanye.
It's Drake.
Nope.
Mr. 305!
Jay-Z.
What'd you say, Paul?
No, Tupac. Pitbull.
Yep, Liam.
Oh my god, I'm on hot fire.
All right, if you're keeping track at home, current score is Liam 4, Paul 0.
Paul, fuck this game.
For the win.
Paul... butthurt because he is not
one more
it.
For time.
Sorry, I haven't been playing the ding bell. I've
this
been
is like me showing you a picture of like the tailpipe of a car and telling you to like name the car.
Yeah, Paul?
Yeah.
All right, ready?
Yeah, yeah, E! Yeah, yeah, E!
Think 80s. I'll start giving you
Vanilla Ice.
I'm out.
What would you say?
Vanilla Ice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, you're
Tupac.
Close. You're really close with Vanilla Ice.
Beastie Boys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know anything closer than Vanilla Ice.
You're really close with Vanilla Ice.
Ice Cube.
Paul got it.
Fuck
Paul got it.
Yeah,
I literally had to say it for you.
I
That's
say
it.
Ice
Paul
tea.
Got it.
He's an actor.
Ice T.
He's an actor.
Yeah, well, so is Ice Cube.
Ice Cube's not a rapper anymore.
Alright.
He's are we there yet.
Let's ready?
It's murder.
This sounds hard.
It's murder.
Think early 2000s. He did a ton of remixes. He's annoying as hell.
It's murder.
I don't even listen to music at early 2000s.
It's murder.
Dre.
It's Ja Rule.
Good. I don't even know what you just
Who
said.
Who the hell is
I don't even know what you
ja
just said.
Ja Rule.
Oh, boy. Are you guys hearing this like I am? All right. Here we go. Let's make it really fucking easy.
My name is...
Slim Shady, Mr. Eminem.
Okay, Liam.
My freaking
5
boy.
Points for Liam, 1 for Paul.
Oh,
Can
that
he pull
was
ahead?
Easy.
Can he pull
I
ahead?
I love Eminem.
All right, let's see. How about a little something like this?
Michael Jackson.
Not a rapper. I'm already gonna give you a buzzer. Alright, come on.
That's just a grunt.
Jay-Z.
Yeah, but it's a pretty good grunt.
Jay-Z.
This is a big one.
Kanye.
Yeah, it is.
Tyga.
No, it's Kanye. You get it.
Yeah.
What? Go fuck yourself.
I don't recognize that at all.
It's a tough one.
I can tell the timbre of his voice a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the only thing I picked up on.
This is a tough challenge. This is a tough, big time showdown.
That's not a catchphrase. That's
this is not even tough. This is just. Like.
Yeah,
find
more, Paul.
Doable.
Blood Al. Blood Al. Blood Al.
You've got to be joking.
Bad Rabbits.
Blood Ale.
Come on.
I don't fucking Blood know.
Blood Ale. Is it a modern one?
Listen to his voice. Listen to the timbre.
Blood Ale. Blood Ale.
Jay-Z. Drake. Tupac. Come
on. I'm gonna give you the timer because you need to know this one.
Blood Ale.
Bob.
Less modern.
I only know modern.
Blood Ale.
You know him.
Lil Wayne.
It's fucking Dr. Snoop Dogg.
Shut your mouth. Maybe do a real Snoop Dogg quote.
How would you not hear that?
See, I'm talking about.
That's not anything
Big
Snoop
Dogg ever said.
You said that?
Blood How Ale. Have you never heard Snoop say Blood Ale? He says that's like the same noise he makes in every single song.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. It was out of place. I forgot about Snoop. Okay, another one go.
All right, guys.
Huh.
What's that?
Huh. Huh.
2 Chainz.
No.
Huh.
Jay-Z.
No.
Huh.
Tupac.
No.
Dre.
Huh.
Come on.
Tyga.
Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, it's probably Snoop Dogg.
Give me an era.
The audience at home
Tupac.
Hates you.
Tupac.
They're screaming at you right now.
I hate the audience.
J.
Huh.
Rick Ross.
Yep. See, that's what I have to make the noise myself.
I've honestly never even listened to a single Rick Ross song, so.
Paul's all butthurt about it.
Butthurt. Hurt butt.
Alright.
Oh!
Jay-Z.
Nope. These are two by the same guy.
Oh!
Listen to his he has a pretty recognizable one.
Oh!
Kendrick.
No.
You kidding me? That's totally him.
No.
Oh.
I don't think there's any Kendrick on here.
Jay-Z, I said.
You're thinking the right time period.
Oh.
Tyga.
Think like 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh.
Kanye?
Oh.
No.
Dre? I have no idea what that's like.
Later in the alphabet.
Oh.
Jay-Z.
Eminem?
No. It's earlier in the alphabet.
A, B, C, D, E?
What are you looking for?
Oh.
Eminem.
Think late in the alphabet. Very late in the alphabet. One of the last ones on the rap board here.
Z.
I don't know. Come on, I need you to get this one.
Tupac.
You heard a lot of his songs probably 3 years ago. Or one of his songs.
Beastie Boys.
It must have been the Beastie Boys. There's no Beastie Boys on here. Stop guessing them.
What if Bob?
No, you're closer. You're one.
Oh.
He's got that You hear it in all his songs.
Pitbull. Tyga. I said Tyga.
Think like the last 6 letters in the alphabet.
Tyga.
Oh.
Not T.
Oh.
T-Pain.
Not T.
Oh.
Usher.
No.
Is it you?
Newer than Usher. Come on.
Oh.
They hate you right now.
I hate.
This
I
is
hate
taking way too long. I can't think of it.
No.
Oh, come on. I need you to get this one. All right, timer's coming on. Later in the alphabet, not T,
it
not
starts,
you.
It's a W.
Couple years
Wale.
Ago. So close.
I hate you. That's the only W I know.
Wiz Khalifa.
Shut your whore mouth.
Wiz Khalifa.
Right,
famous
I
for songs when... like... No Sleep, Black and Yellow.
I know.
Okay.
I wouldn't have thought of it. If I had, like, looked at a list of rappers previously.
Maybe I should have given you a list. No, that would have made it too easy, though.
Yeah.
Because then they would have been off the board, and that's kind of how I'm doing it. All right, ready? No, wait.
Usher. Woo! Biggie.
This one.
Tyga.
Those three were all the same guy, but check out this
Woo!
One. Old.
Dre.
Pretty old.
Beastie Woo! Boys.
Tupac.
No, MC Hammer.
No, there's only one MC Hammer.
Oh, Biggie.
No.
Tupac.
Think more about story raps. Telling stories.
Snoop?
No.
Snoop's a big story rapper.
Usher.
You sure
Snoop's
I know?
Pretty big on story rappers, but this guy is the story rapper.
I woke up around 10 o'clock in the
yes?
morning. Will Smith.
That's it.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Will Smith.
Give me some.
Fuck you.
He's not gonna high five you. You're kicking his ass.
Fuck you.
I can't believe I got it.
All right.
Yeah.
No, wait. That one sucks. This is a different person.
Hey.
T-Pain.
Happy boy.
Yeah, it is. You finally got it.
That's money, son.
Come on, Paul.
Fuck you. Wait, we've done 10 rounds.
Hold on, I'm having so much fun, though. Yeah, we're having fun. We're enjoying this.
Yeah.
I'll go so easy.
This is fun.
Luna!
Oh, wait, no, Ludacris. We already did Ludacris. Sorry. That's my mistake. I'm trying to remember who we did. We've done a lot now.
Young!
Oh, Kanye. Jay-Z.
Thank you. I was gonna say, what is the most guessed one so far? Alright, let's do like two more. Paul, I want you to brace yourself for this one. Pretty Old got one of the most signature yells. You're about to hear it. You're gonna know this person.
Yeah, boy!
No, not Lil Jon again, and not Tupac, Paul. You're annoying. I'm not doing any Tupac.
Yeah, boy!
Oh, that's, Flava Flav.
Yep, Liam got it.
I can't even believe I just pulled that out of my ass.
Yeah, that was good. I'll give you 2 ding bells for that one.
Thanks.
Alright, we'll do, hold on, wait, 2. Sorry, now for real this time, 2 more, because I've got 2 more that I want to play. Alright, ready? Shit, I lost my place. Oh, God damn it. Here we go.
Did we really do that one?
No, we definitely didn't.
Kanye? Wale?
Nope. It's one you guys have been guessing a lot. I'm making it easy on you.
Biggie.
Dr. Dre.
Tupac.
Paul, you're so close. Not really, but with letters.
Drake.
Yes! Paul, you got it!
Woo! We didn't guess Drake once. I forgot.
You've been guessing Drake a lot.
I completely forgot about Drake. No,
Paul guessed Drake a couple times.
Oh, well, I didn't even
know. Paul didn't know who Drake was.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I almost forgot about that. Paul honestly didn't know who Drake was like 3 weeks ago.
When we first talked about doing this.
Yeah. All right, ready? Here's the last one.
Baby.
Biggie.
Nope.
Drake.
Baby.
Eminem.
Dr. Shut up. This is clearly not a 5'6 white man.
Whoa, Liam.
Shut up. I don't know who that is.
We don't care about that. Come on.
Baby.
This is you, Paul.
Biggie.
Baby.
Tupac.
Yes, Paul, you did it.
Woo!
3 points.
I hate Tupac.
There we go.
Yes.
Yes, from Oreo.
Yes.
All right, so. Final tally. Ah, god damn it, I don't have a drum sound.
It is.
Hold up.
Whoa there.
Oh, wait, shit. Wrong sound. Okay, ready?
In Liam's corner, the grand total of fuck you.
Yeah, Paul, you wish. Alright, so final score in the very first episode of Friday Night Fiasco Big Time Showdown. It's time to get high. Don't touch the mic like that.
There's a drum.
Hey, you probably just bothered the hell out of their ears.
Yes.
Alright, sorry. Coming in second place with a score of 3 points, Paul Friedman!
Yeah, Lord.
Taking first with a staggering 11, Liam Shanahan.
Boo.
Oh shit, wrong sound. Oh.
Thank you.
Here we go.
Thank you, I know.
The only contest. Where Liam could win this contest is against me.
I don't know.
Hey.
I pulled out
No, you guys did a great job.
Some good handshake.
Thank you.
And that is it. That concludes our very first edition of Friday Night Fiasco Big Time Showdown. Thank you for joining us.
And you know what
this means, guys. You're gonna be seeing a video shortly after this post of Paul Friedman walking through a McDonald's drive-thru in a cardboard box car.
Yeah, let's promise things that
we'll
are happening.
We'll see how it goes.
He's not gonna do it.
He has no choice. It's by the sacred oath of radio.
Yeah,
true.
He has no choice.
Guys,
we have had a great time, and I don't want to drag this out any longer than we already have, but thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you even more if you stuck around this entire time listening to all of our dumb bullshit. It means a lot if you gave us a chance, and I hope you continue to do so, and maybe check us out next week on our next episode. This was a lot of fun, and I'm going to take us out on some big time rap. Okay. Something good. I hope you'll like whatever it is. But check out FridayNightFiasco.com. Keep an eye on us there. We're looking to get on iTunes really soon, so we'll keep you posted. Maybe you're listening to this on iTunes. That would be pretty cool.
Congratulations.
Congrats if you did. Congrats to me too, if I got that right. Maybe not, that's fine. You'll be listening to it on our website, streaming it somewhere, downloading it. This is all really great news. Tell all your friends about Friday Night Fiasco. We are here to stay. We are going to, we have a great show. This is going to be great, and I can see a very bright future in this podcast, and I hope you all can too. And I hope you stick around and get to know us a little bit more and hang out with us. I don't want to get too sad.
I'm not gonna cry.
I'm not gonna cry. I'm choking up. I told myself I wouldn't cry. Well, on that note, thank you guys so much for joining us this week. My name is Daniel J. Collette.
I'm Paul Friedman.
He's not actually MD. A doctor.
He's not a doctor.
And I'm we doctor. Will catch you Dre. Later. Friday Night Fiasco. Out.
In the place, grind, get low, move side to side. All my honeys in the place, grind, get low, move side to side. All my honeys in the place, grind, get low, move side to side. All my honeys in the place, grind, get low. All my honeys in the place, grind, get low, move side to side.
Thank you so much for playing my game.